It's time for Twig This Week in Google. What a great show we have for you. Gina Trapani is here. Jeff Jarvis is here. Mike Elgin is here with, as always, great Google Plus tips. I have the new Pixel C notebook. We're going to do an unboxing. Lots of stuff coming up. It's going to be a great Twig. You stay right here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 330, recorded Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. The Krampus is in the details. This Week in Google is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/twig and entering the promo code TWIG. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at freshbooks.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where we cover the latest news from everywhere. The cloud, the Googleverse. Oh, look, it's Gina Trapani, her monthly appearance. So glad to see you, Gina.
Great to be here. Hi.
I am thrilled to have you back. Everything going well in New York? You ready for another winter? Actually, it's 57 degrees today.
It's not bad today. Although my basement is a little bit chilly, but I'm you know, already I'm already kind of like tensed up and, you know, breaking out the big boots and everything. I'm ready. I'm ready for a tough winter.
Well, you as it turned out, had the worst winter in decades last year.
Yeah.
So you deserve a break. Maybe it'll be a little bit
Thank
better.
You from your mouth to the weather gods.
Jeff Jarvis is also here from the City University of New York, buzzmachine.com. And look at his new light. He shines with his book
that
light.
That magic.
That was a Kickstarter, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, nice.
The Lumio something or other, mini book lights.
Which we found immediately for $40 on Amazon. Yeah,
I spent $100 for it, so I'm schmuck.
I'll have mine any day now. Hey, look, it's Mike Elgin. Great to see you too, Mike.
Great to be here.
I sadly say formerly our news director and host of TNT, but Mike is back to his peripatetic ways. But I'm thrilled that you will be here as regularly as we can get you in here.
Anytime. I love this show.
Yeah, we love having
you. I listen to every single word spoken on the show.
And you haven't given up on Google Plus yet?
I passed 5 million about 10 minutes ago.
Did you really?
Whoa.
I did.
Congratulations. That's a lot.
I'm right under Ariana Huffington.
Well, you should be on top of Ariana. No, that's trouble. Oh, that's not both going both that way.
And no, but it's you know, if we get the chance to talk about Google Plus, it's an interesting time for Google Plus.
It's in transition. Let's
very
face
much
it.
So. We lost another citizen, Danny Sullivan, announced a couple hours ago that he's like, I'm done with Google Plus.
Yeah, I don't ever. I've learned that lesson. I did that with Twitter once and with Facebook once. And it's silly to say you're done with anything.
He said he'll post occasionally, but he doesn't like the redesign. A lot of people don't like
the redesign. Oh,
really?
Yeah. That's about the redesign. Yes.
You know, I haven't heard. What did Scoble say?
Scoble hasn't been on Google Plus in ages, I don't think. Let me just see. He went all in on Facebook, I think.
Yeah.
There's a group, though. I've never been kissed by Scoble. That's good.
I'm a proud member myself. I didn't know that existed.
He's got 7.2 million followers, but that's Scoble. That's the Scoble number.
Yes.
2 days ago is his last post. He's not super active here.
Yeah.
Then 3 weeks, 2 weeks. Yeah, he's not super active. In fact, the only thing he's posting about looks like is his email newsletter.
Yep.
He's a Facebook guy.
Yep. And one of the things that I'm going to be writing up, you know, hey, I just passed 5 million followers post. And one of the things that's interesting is Lady Gaga's coming up on 10 million followers.
Wow.
And that A geek like me can get half as many followers as the number one user who's
not
a celebrity.
On Twitter.
Yeah, because it's a testament, I think, to a certain extent, of the fact that it's not a fluffy, celebrity-driven social network like all the other social networks. So there's that.
You're also
Is Gaga post?
Not yet.
Sorry.
There's another statement there.
Kim Kardashian.
It'll be up in a few hours.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, does she post? I don't know.
I don't know. Is she on there?
You know what? Mike also has four collections. Maybe more than four.
I have more than that. Yep.
But it turns out following them, all of them. So that's great.
Yeah. And so it's food and technology and
Department of Dumb.
Department of Dumb is one of I love that one because any stupid thing I find, I throw it in there. And if you can't stomach stupid things, then you don't follow
the Department of Dumb. Like yeah.
Yeah, but it's in a weird place. I think that it has a future as an alternative to Reddit / Pinterest.
Yeah.
And does not have a future as an alternative to Facebook or Twitter. But that's fine. It's in a weird place because right now it's for two kinds of people. It's for people who are really enthusiastic about something obscure or not obscure. It's a great place for people who are, you know, to get together and do the original thing that people used to do on the Well and all, you know, all the
right.
great social
the well.
Sites.
Were you a member of the Well?
I was a member of the
what
Well.
What was your handle on the Well?
I don't remember. I have no idea.
Because, you know, people like three-letter handles. They were very short handles.
But it was kind of exclusive. It was there were a lot of great, heavy conversations, and there's a lot of that in Google+. And then there's this universe of English as a second language.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Participating.
Well, they participate in a strange way. As you mentioned last time you were on, they
say hi.
They say hi.
Yeah, or something like that. Or, you know, they're...
I feel like those are maybe budding spammers.
I think it's because Google pushes Google Plus internationally and then people join it on their phones and they haven't really.
Yeah. They don't get the culture.
They don't understand. Yeah, exactly. And they're on low bandwidth connections maybe. And, you know.
This is not for low bandwidth.
No.
I'm happy if Google Plus finds a niche. I'd be very happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Look what I got. I got a big box.
Huh.
And it came from the Googleplex, so I figure either this is a Christmas gift from Larry Page. You know, this actually could be. I still haven't gotten my Lego from Google Fi. So it's either
it's awfully big.
It's either
it's
Google
Fi
Lego
castle.
This would be overkill on the box. Or let's see. I'm so excited.
Or it's a really fat Pixel C.
It could be a.
Pixel
C keyboard.
Oh, you did get it. You jerk.
I ordered it at the same time as you.
You ordered it after me.
But I did expedited shipping.
So did I. So it might appear.
Is it first C in the brick house?
No, I think. Did you have one yesterday, Ron?
No, we didn't have one in studio, okay. No. So this is the first one. Yeah,
you know, a lot of the Google journalists like Ron Amadio got review units. But, you know, Engadget, The Verge, they weren't crazy about it. They said there were hesitation, there were issues. And I'm wondering, sometimes you get pre-production models with the review units. You don't get the production model. So I'm hoping that the production model won't be...
Boy, mine's out. Mine's
you're
going to
get yours
Chicago.
During the show. I can't believe I got this fast.
I'm excited that it can be used as a fridge magnet. There's so many magnets in it, you can just... Stick it on the fridge.
Apparently, they're very powerful, too. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see how long it takes me to get used to the weird dance you have to do to mate the... Because I got the magnetic keyboard. Jason got the portfolio?
Yeah, really? I think I probably got the wrong one. But
you did. Yeah.
This is the one that does the magnetic dance.
Yep.
I'm so jealous.
And the coolest feature, the feature I wish everybody would copy on this is the fact that it wirelessly charges the keyboard when it's stuck to the tablet.
Well, you know what's interesting about Apple's Pogo pins is they don't even bother charging. It just powers the keyboard.
Right. And that's how the Apple Pencil should charge. It should just stick to the side and charge.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It'd be great.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Breaking the shrink wrap. There's something so exciting about just opening up new boxes.
I know. It's Christmas came early for me.
Yeah, you see, there was a story, I think, in the New York Times about unboxing as a marketing phenomenon now for all kinds of brands and
they're
how happy they are.
They're late on that.
Yeah.
I hate to say
it. Yeah.
I think unboxing is over.
But I think it's gone beyond.
Unboxing is the new thing, and the New York Times is on it. Let's get started.
plug.
Oh, it's a kind of fine print. And wow. And one whole column is in French.
Two. Let's do that one.
Avis de sécurité concernant la chaleur. So there's the plug. This is type C, of course, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And you want to plug that in, John? I don't know if I'm going to need it. Usually these things come with enough juice that I can just turn it on. People have said that it reminds them a lot of the Pixel, the Chromebook Pixel, and its styling. Let's take a look.
Yes, which was what I like about it.
It still says processing.
I would love this more if it was, in fact, a Pixel Chromebook.
Jason,
Pixel.
You just, you know.
I'm trying to figure it out. Like, you orders yours a good.
After you.
A couple hours after me.
Yeah.
Is it the Folio keyboard that's part of my package?
Yeah, you got the Folio and I got the Pixel.
That is throwing it off.
I don't know, Jason. I ordered the official keyboard. And
yeah, I could be. It was my mistake.
I'm sorry. You can have this, though.
No.
I'll give this to you.
It's cool. This is going to be here today or tomorrow. I can wait.
All right. So it is kind of pixely. It's squared a little bit with some rounding.
Metal back.
Yeah, it's that same color. Oh, it's even so got the...
It's got the fancy pixel light.
Yeah, the light. Yeah. Kind of...
What ports?
8-megapixel camera, and it's a Type-C port, on-off switch...
I don't think that's a light on the back. Oh, yes, it is.
They got to have a headphone jack,
headphone
don't they?
Jack, but that's it. It's kind of like the Apple MacBook.
Right, it's very square. It does look very pixely.
Yeah. So
my brain is still broken on trying to get the Androids running on this thing.
Well, the knock really was that Android just doesn't have the tablet apps.
Yeah.
And that this would be fine, but it doesn't do what you really wish it would do as a laptop replacement, which is... multi-windows, right? Even though that is apparently built into Marshmallow, there's code in there. They haven't turned it on. See, I think this is going to be a machine that next year will start to really live up to its potential, right?
But who is this for? What market is this for?
Schmucks like me.
Google fans, right?
Traveling writers. I actually think that's a legitimate, right? Because Jeff, like, you're a huge Chromebook fan because you travel a bunch and you write.
And I watch movies in my 7-inch. This stops me from having to carry my 7-inch and my Chromebook. It'll be a lot lighter. My office, I'll still use my big Chromebook. But when I'm for briefcase, my hope is this is my briefcase machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the thing that people said was tricky.
You kind of have to lay it down. Put it down. See, there's a video of it. There's a video. It shows you.
Slide tablet to the side. Flip tablet over. So I just put it on here to start?
No, that's not the start. That's to close it.
Okay.
To
do this, you slide it to the side. Maybe I did it wrong. Let's do it this way. No. All right. This is the way the magnets want to go. Slide tablet to the side. Break the magnet.
Right.
Flip the tablet over. Touch it to the back of the keyboard.
And then it snaps. Oh. And then pull it up.
Whoa! I like that. And by the way, multi-angle.
Yep.
Which is, I think, really good. That was something it took at Microsoft a while to understand, and Apple still doesn't understand. It says, type the pairing code 474271. Am I not
kidding? Why did they bother with that?
Yeah, it's an old Bluetooth habit, right? But I didn't. But maybe it's not yet. Sorry.
It's
really on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I must be doing it right.
How's the build quality on what you've seen so far?
That was it.
Pretty solid.
It
looks
great.
Good.
Here, you be the judge, Mike.
Yeah.
It's top heavy, which is the same problem Microsoft had with the Surface Book, which is that the top felt heavy.
Right. It's the build quality is great. It feels very much in the league of a Chromebook Pixel.
Can you one-hand the keyboard?
What's that mean?
Like type can you hold it by the keyboard? Just the keyboard?
Oh, yeah. That's a heck of a...
Mike, turn it upside down.
Since I don't own this, I'll just go ahead and...
Yeah, you just
it's so strong.
Yeah. I can't bring myself to do it, but you can.
It's really on there.
No, it's a heck of a magnet. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay, then. Thanks.
So, I mean, it will actually snap to your refrigerator if you put it on the refrigerator. It will snap to it and tightly stick there.
Right, let me plug the... I don't need to, but I'm going to plug the connector in. And then don't look. Don't look. I'm going to type the password in.
I love how the Pixel Lite kind of tells you what's going on, how it flashes red when you need battery. It just flashed yellow when you plugged it in. It's a nice subtle.
The pairing hasn't happened, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the keyboard on? Does it have an on-off switch?
Wow. You know what? That's... Okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Okay. You slide to break it. You put it over here like that. There's
this attachment.
And then there's like that. Yeah, you know, I ordered the portfolio and then I canceled because I think we had decided yesterday.
Yeah.
You got to get this keyboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then press enter. Okay, maybe I didn't do that right. I don't know. Let's try this one more time. Pay no attention to the password I'm about to enter. I said, pay no attention
to the password.
Oh, sorry. There we go. Sorry, I was placing an order on the Play Store.
Uh-huh.
Look, priorities, you guys.
You kind of want that, don't you? Yeah, I think Jason should
be able to leave his workstation for just a second and come over and touch it.
I have to say, having used the iPad now with a keyboard, which I didn't for a long time, it's really nice to have a keyboard.
Yes.
Yep. It makes a big difference.
Yeah,
on-screen keyboards are not as good.
That's right.
Yes. And this, you know, this is, I've seen so many people use their iPad, like Harry McCracken, and others who come in with this, you know, the Belkin or whatever. And this is nice.
I mean, I'm eager for you to type on it, you know, a paragraph and see how you feel.
Your tablet needs to download an update and restart.
Ugh.
You know, I wonder, though, if that's security the update. Thing that maybe related to the problems people were having with hesitation and other stuff.
Yeah, you know, and it's not a good time to come out with a device like this that has hesitation problems or other problems because the iPad Pro is so good. The Surface is so good.
Really, it's in its fourth generation.
You're right.
It's totally matured.
Yeah. And the whole problem of having a keyboard with a tablet is not a hard problem. Any Bluetooth keyboard would pretty much work with any tablet. It's just a question of propping up the tablet while you use the keyboard.
Yeah.
And that's not a difficult problem to solve. So it's, you know, a lot of this is not necessary. It's just kind of cool.
You know what upsets me about it?
What?
No LTE.
Yeah, that's odd.
It's an Android device. Why the heck can I use cellular connectivity?
Even the Chromebook Pixel pulled.
No, the new one, that really upsets me too.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they're saying, well, we figure you all have LTE on your phones now. You just hotspot your phone. Why should you pay for two different hotspots, right?
Yeah. Give me that option. Because I don't because I have the AT&T Unlimited. So
me
thus,
too.
I have my Karma, which is great. It's very nice. But I got to find the damn thing, get it out, turn it on.
But they're 95% of the way there. Just, you know, allow me to just connect via LTE and it's just a perfect experience. Just open it up and use it. Don't have to worry about anything like that.
I think they just don't want to deal with the carriers at all on a device like this. So they're like, not worth our trouble.
Bingo. We don't want to talk to those guys.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, programmers are not going to like this because there's no tilde key and there's no bracket key. So to make
get it through a
there's probably a command
keyboard.
Yeah, there's probably a command.
They just lost the Google employee.
Well, I need the tilde key and the square brackets.
But who's gonna program on an Android device?
Right? Well, Google. I want to. You could.
You could.
I don't. There's no reason not. And I think that's why people are upset that you don't have split windows and that kind of thing. I think people would really like to see these devices be. Full-fledged.
Yes.
At least as full-fledged as a Chromebook Pixel, maybe even more so.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they got apps.
The whole point of Android is flexibility. Right.
So why couldn't this have come with Chrome OS?
Because I think this is more capable because you have this millions app store.
That's the funny thing. The reviews complained that...
They're not tablet specific.
The mobile apps aren't good enough and that, you know, in Chrome you had the best of both worlds.
This is like a little laptop as it is. And if the OS would give you the, you know, I mean, and I think you could make a case that Android is like a desktop OS, much more so than Chrome OS. I mean, it's got an apps. It's got a huge variety of apps. They need to make the apps. And I mean, Gina, you're the expert on this. It's completely possible to make apps that work both on a phone and a tablet.
Yep.
But they just, maybe there hasn't. I don't know. There just hasn't been a drive to do that. There's plenty of Android tablets.
I mean, there's plenty of Android tablets, and Google like definitely pushes developers to do so. I'm doing a Udacity Nano degree for Android, and layout is in literally like is in this first section. Like they're pushing it. It's right, you know, it's actually before Material. So I think introducing that basic concept of you've got these different screen sizes, and this is how you have to design your layouts for these different screen sizes, like in the wireframe phase. I think that's something that Google really is trying to, you know, get developers to do, but you know, I don't know. It adds more complexity and some more code and some more layout issues to each app, but it's not difficult.
Florence Ion just tweeted she's watching the Reddit AMA, and apparently in there they said Android and the next generation will feature tablet optimization. But when is that? That's a year off.
Yeah, we'll hear about it in a couple of months at I.O.
Yeah.
Seem not so far away.
Say that again. The next version of Android will feature tablet optimization.
And as in...
gotcha.
I'm guessing it's going to be Nutella.
Nutella. Oh, it should be Nutella. It's not. It should be.
Nougat.
That's a brand, though.
Yeah. Well, they've done it before.
Yeah. No caps lock. It's replaced as it is on the Chromebook Pixel with a search button. That's how it...
Well, that I hope you can just change. I hope.
Well, do you want caps lock? I guess you write a lot. You might want.
Oh, yeah, I want caps lock.
Especially
I
you, it on Jeff. The
I have another thing to say about light songs.
I'm sorry. That's my impression of Jeff Jarvis. But no, you probably do more.
Ingram!
All right. Anyway, there it is. That's a little unboxing of the Chromebook Pixel. One of the reasons the keyboard didn't respond right away is because it does have to get juice, so maybe it hadn't gotten enough juice. It's updating right now. This is a strong magnet. It's much stronger than I anticipated. I mean, this is almost as if it's a one-piece device now.
You can turn it upside down and use it as a hoverboard if you have a metal skateboard park.
Or you could put your book light inside it and have it move from within. I like it that the angle is variable.
Yeah.
Oh, but you do pry it off if you go too far. That's okay, though. That's pretty cool. You can go that flat, completely flat.
I wonder how that whole hinge thing and the magnets and everything are going to be in 2 years, or 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so when you want to just watch it as a tablet, how does the keyboard stow? How does that work?
You take it off.
Yeah, I know that. No, but you're supposed to be able to put it. You can either use the keyboard as a case, or you can kind of hide the keyboard so you can still use it as a tablet.
Boy, that is it. Feel how tight that hinge is.
Jeez.
It's got to be right because you're touching it.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Right. So then I could I just do this? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of
fun. A
little
loosey-goosey. Yeah.
A little bit. But the magnets do kind of snap in, which is kind of neat. So you could do it like that if you want.
I'm looking forward to watching a movie on it.
I think it'll be good. Do you lay it flat to use it? So this is the way you do it. You go like that and then boom. That's actually not hard.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it finally came, the Chromebook Pixel C, and maybe the reason it was delayed is it wasn't ready, and it maybe still isn't ready, but they got to get it out. They said they would.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is pricey, too. I mean, it's...
It is.
That's the thing. Who's going to buy this? Who's going to shell out that kind of dough? Right?
$800.
Besides
YouTube.
For you.
I spent $950 on an iPad Pro and it didn't have, without the keyboard.
Jeez.
So, yeah. I know. Stuff's expensive.
The pen didn't come out yet, though, did it?
Yeah, it's out.
Did you get it?
I got the pen, I like the pen. And then, I was just showing this on Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott recommended a $100 PC that you plug into the iPad, and now the iPad is a Windows machine.
The same price as the pencil.
Yeah. For the same price you pay for the pencil, you can also have Windows 10. It's only 1024x768.
Now, there's a small market. The people who want to run Windows 10 on their iPad Pro.
But think about it. You could be traveling around with an iPad Pro, and it's not much bigger than a smartphone in your pocket, and that turns it into a full-fledged Windows computer. Yeah. I mean, that's there's some reason you might want to do that. I don't know.
The company's paying for everything. That's the reason.
Because the company said you could, right? Well, that's an interesting question. Would this be a suitable product for a company computer? If all you had to do was email and, on the road and surf and stuff, maybe it would be the Pixel C.
I'll load it up, Android at work.
The form factor is great for tray table, a coach class tray table.
Yeah.
It's the screen is a little bit forward. So
right. I'm liking it. And as everybody in all the reviews said, the hardware is great. Superlative.
Yep. We're going to count. I want you to type.
Yeah, you know what? This is like a real keyboard. It's loose. Yeah. Here, you're the writer.
Okay.
Let's let Mike do it because he's the writer. It's not like the Apple very solid flat keys. It feels like a real keyboard, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. You can get used to it. It's different.
There's travel. It's different.
There's a learning curve, but yeah, it's there's key travel.
There are arrow keys. There's no trackpad, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It's similar. It's very similar to like an Apple Bluetooth keyboard. It's the same shape of the keys. It's flat. I like that flat thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, look, it's upgrading.
Yeah, nice. we're getting the new Android there. Oh, it's done now. Select a Wi-Fi network connecting. I guess our update is done, so I'll just let it sit here for a while. And this can take a while.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
It's better than Microsoft. Microsoft on its upgrade says, "Don't worry, all your files are safe," which makes me worry.
Right.
Yeah. So what are you?
It's like I wasn't. So you said,
"Yeah, right."
Don't worry. Okay. You can trust us. Right. You can trust us.
Everything's
it's
still
cool.
There. It's going to be okay. If you use another Android device, quickly copy your current setup. Yeah, I always want to do that, right? Just I'll upgrade to put all the – I got 64 gigs.
You know, by the way, so when I switched to my new phone, the one thing that upsets me is it's fine. It moves all of the apps over, but it doesn't move my settings over.
Oops, not the Google Plus app.
Am I doing something wrong?
Yeah, no, I
this should do that. Minutes. Let's see. It says open the – this is a new experience. Open the Google app.
Are you talking about app settings or are you talking about system settings, Jeff?
No, that's the Google now.
App settings.
App settings is a feature in Marshmallow, but developers need to get on board with it. So, A, you got to be running Marshmallow. B, the developers have to program to it, I believe, to say, yes, these parts of the app can be backed up.
Say, ready? Oh, watch this. Okay, Google, set up my device. Getting
That's
started.
Magical.
Set up your device. Your phone's Bluetooth and your Wi-Fi data will be used. Next. Searching for devices. Apparently, it's going to see the Pixel C on the list. And then I could just, follow the on-screen instructions. Connecting to
you. It took me forever to find the Google app settings as opposed to the device
settings.
Yeah, I don't
know. Settings. When they say open Google, what do you mean open Google? It's always
exactly.
open.
Exactly. It's all Google. Life is Google.
Actually, I think that's superfluous. I think if you just said, okay, Google, set up my device, it would probably do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasted a half an hour trying to find that when I got the phone.
What are you talking about?
By the way, I love this phone. It's working very well. But when I want to reboot it and turn it on, this case, the one with the fabric keg, somehow pushes down one of the volume buttons just enough. So every time if I just use the case and hold down the on-off button, it wants to go into safe mode.
Okay. Wow. This crashed.
Pull the case back.
Trying again. Crashed. It crashed. Yeah.
Nice.
Let's try again. I'll just put it right here.
It's not the way you're holding it, Jeff? The case is actually leaning on the volume button?
I guess so, just enough. And so, yeah, so it gets this frightening, horrible thing. This is no command. And the
Sorry,
little broken
something
Android.
Went wrong.
Your case is holding it wrong.
Yeah.
This is not encouraging. So twice now something has gone wrong.
This is one of those Google experiences that when it works, it's absolutely magical. And when it doesn't, you're like, you all lie.
And it's probably because I have some programming, compatible program running. I mean, another program crashed too. So
don't blame the victim.
I'm the victim here. I'm blaming myself. It's okay. Well, while my devices are trying to mate, let's talk about my mattress. Yes, it's crashed again. But, you know, I know how to set up. What's funny is I know how to set up a Google device. I don't really need to do this. Well, what is just worse, having somebody do it the manual way or having an automatic way that fails?
So, at the end, it's the same. You're doing it the manual way.
I'm going to do it the manual way now, right? After being frustrated. You can teach a pig to sing. Our show today brought to you by Casper, the online retailer of premium mattresses. And yet another great product, disintermediating the middleman, eliminating the huge markup at a mattress store, selling direct to you from the factory. The factory is a U.S. factory making a premium mattress, kind of obsessively engineered, bringing latex and memory foam together in a way you've never experienced before, because the memory foam is the bottom, so that's the firmness but the give, and then the top is the latex, and it just works great. It comes in a box. This is a queen mattress in this box if you're watching the video. We got this at home. I opened it up. I was in my jammies because I thought, well, I got to try it out. I've been buying Casper mattresses for others in my family because they're really great. My son has one at college. Debbie's son, our nephew, has one. It's a comfortable mattress with just the right sink and bounce. And here's the best part. You don't have to try it in a store. You don't have to line up for 5 minutes and make that lifetime decision. You can get it home, free delivery, lie on it for 100 nights. And if at any time in those first 100 nights you say, yeah, it's not for me, they'll come and get it. They'll give you all your money back. No cost, no harm, no foul. It is really a great way to buy a mattress. I am in love with my Casper mattress. And boy, because you're getting it from the factory, the price is really fair. $500 for a twin, $950 for their biggest king size. Huge, huge difference because they don't have the markup. Casper.com/twig will get you $50 off as a member of our audience. Some terms and conditions apply. For details about that, go to Casper.com/terms. Casper.com/twig. Use the promo code TWIG. Save $50 on your new mattress. Yeah, thank you, Casper, by the way, for supporting This Week in Google. Now the manual process just started up. It said, all right, I get it. It's just not working, is it? So I'll do the normal thing, which isn't so bad. You log into your Google account. It has all my settings there.
What was it we used to be able to get where it would do all that before you got it? Was that an early Nexus?
Like it was called Moto X.
Yeah. Motomaker,
Moto
yeah.
X, that's right.
It would come like pre-configured for your account.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
With like a script with a desktop image that you pre-selected and
have your name
in it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They don't do that anymore though, I don't think.
I'm not sure. They still have the Motomaker thing. Mm-hmm. It's just all in China now instead of
Arizona. I don't think you get the maybe you do. Do you get your Google account pre-configured and all that? Maybe you do. That's what Amazon does. Mm-hmm. Right? On your all your Amazon devices come knowing everything there is to know about you.
Everything that you've purchased since 1992.
Yeah. And your credit card. Which was weird because they sent us two review units that were pre-configured with my credit card.
Right, I remember that, yeah. We had a field day ordering stuff.
Wow. Thank you, Amazon. That made it a lot easier.
Now, books for everybody.
Now everybody knows why there are 18 fires sent here.
But, you know, people are comparing this to, you know, the iPad Pro and stuff. But another comparison is with the Chromebook Pixel. And think about how easy the out-of-the-box experience is with Chromebook Pixel.
Chrome OS
just log
nailed.
In.
Yeah.
Right.
It hasn't
that's
nailed.
It. Right. It really does. Mm.
You know, that's a really good point.
And I fear
I'm a little
that,
worried about this.
Yeah,
device.
I fear that they want to emphasize the Android devices and not the Chromebook. But they got a great thing going with the Chromebook.
They really do.
I know we're probably going to talk in the show about Chromebook in education.
We can do that right now. They're huge, right? 50%.
Yes. From 4 years ago, the percentage was 1. And now they've completely taken over that market.
Huge
for obvious
success.
Reasons. If you're a school, you don't have money, you don't have a lot of resources for managing devices and all that kind of stuff, you're worried about security, the Chromebook Pixel handles all of that just out of the box.
We talked last week about the EFF's lawsuit because, of course, EFF says with a Chromebook, you're logging into your Google account and Google's storing the student's information. There's some privacy issues. You know, it was great because Matt Cutts was on that show from Google.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, thank you, EFF, for pointing this out. I'm sure we're going to fix this. But it is kind of, if you think about it, somebody's got to store it somewhere, right?
Well, it's the cloud.
It's the cloud.
It was an attack on the cloud model, not on that device.
I think that's probably the case, yeah.
It's really naive. It's really, again, we love the EFF, but it came off as naive. Because how do you expect it to work?
Right.
You get hard drives for every student? You know, that we're past that. This is the cloud. That's
it was,
all
in
it
fact,
is.
The whole point of moving to Chromebooks is that, was it you who pointed out? Somebody pointed out, that's the point. You can lose your Chromebook,
right.
Log into the next one, and as you say, there's no setup. It's ready. It's got everything you need. Should I use a pattern, a PIN, or a password? That's one thing this doesn't have fingerprint. Wish it did. Love that.
Yeah, but this big a device, I think it'd be reaching behind with the fingerprint and all that. But you're right. I when I use my Nexus 7 now, it's weird that I have to use a pattern.
Oh, I love it on the Nexus 6. It's just
I do too. It's great.
You don't even turn it on. You just touch it.
And they're so fast now that it's almost too fast. Like you accidentally touch it and it unlocks everything. Yeah. Just.
I guess I'll do a pin because I do a pin on Surface and all of that and on my iPad. So I'll use the same pin. This keyboard's nice.
It's a real keyboard.
It's a real keyboard.
No compromises, really.
Yeah, yeah. The hardware is very nice. Yeah,
it is.
So let's see. Restore from my Nexus 7, my Note 5, my Nexus 6P, last used today. Let's do that. All apps, 159 apps. Yep. So this isn't so bad. And then you say, yes, I'm in on Google Now. I mean, this isn't terrible. You have to log into your account. You know, it's not so different. And now it'll be restoring for another hour.
And in terms of the multifunctioning and all that, you basically, since I'm used to operating only in Chrome, as long as I've got Chrome open on it, I figure it'll be okay. The only weird thing is that Chrome handles tabs differently in Android than it does as Chrome. And it's irritating.
And sometimes you can go to a Chrome tab and it will force a refresh of that tab every time you skip to it instead of just leaving it as an instance in memory, you know?
Is it my imagination, Leo? Or does that logo look like a device with Donald Trump's hair?
It's a comb over.
It does.
Ooh, wow. Ooh, I love that. That's how you know it's marshmallow. It's the marshmallow look.
The split navigation buttons down at the bottom, that's one thing to notice.
Oh, okay. So here's recents and here's home. That's actually a good idea. I've never seen a tablet do that. So the home is the home and the back are on the left, lower left corner, and as it's in landscape mode, and on the lower right corner in landscape mode is the recents button. That's actually reasonable. Do wish it. There must be. I wonder. They said in some of the reviews, yes, there are secret key combinations. Why secret? Tell me. Because like on the iPad, Control-H goes home. I would love to see what the secrets are. Doesn't do it on here. How about Alt-H? Oh, something happened. What's that?
You stumble on a secret keystroke
keyboard.
Combination.
What is it?
It's the on-screen keyboard.
But there's no...
Without keys.
ABC? Emoji?
It's the on-screen touchpad. Oh,
okay, so I have to choose. Okay, so I'm chosen. So, all right, so Alt... A, oh, no, maybe that's just Alt. What?
Maybe when you're in the keyboard, Alt swaps between emoji and
emoji. You won't need that when you want emoji.
So Alt pops up the keyboard.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, I see. It pops up the emoji keyboard because there are no emoji keys on a physical keyboard.
Well, it pops
keyboard,
up whatever you've used last.
Yeah.
Still, there's something...
Oh, no, it goes to emoji. You're right. That's the default.
There's something funny, though, or about a hardware keyboard key that pops up an on-screen keyboard.
Yes.
Yeah, it should disable
the ABC.
All
right, I'm sending you the keyboard shortcuts, Leo. Just give me a second.
Oh, you found them?
Yep.
Did you use Google? Oh, look.
Of course.
Oh, isn't that sweet? How retro. These are emoticons. I haven't seen those in a while. In case you forgot them.
Put it in the chat.
Okay. So there's a secret keyboard.
Yeah. These are... It says Pixel. Now, is that the... Well, it says Pixel C. Yes, it's part of Pixel C.
Okay.
So general shortcuts. Home is search and enter, unless you change search to...
Search, enter. Oh, I guess because... Well, yeah. Okay.
Overview is Alt and Tab.
Search is Google Now, which is nice. I have to update. I'm still updating. Search, and then search enter is home. Okay.
Oh, man, you got to use the search button for everything.
Oh, right? Search is the meta key. Search is the meta key. Okay.
So opens the browser, search in B, contact search in C, email search in E.
Oh, yeah, browser search B. That's good.
Messenger search in B. Is the same as search and B is music app. They messed that up. Calendar app. No, they've messed this up.
So where'd you find all this?
It's on that page I sent. It's in the rundown.
No, but chat. I mean, I know, but I'm just asking where you...
Well, under general shortcuts.
Oh, there's like a help. There's like instructions.
Yeah, it's a whole page. Oh, it's a whole page.
So, okay, so it's not secret.
It tells you how to get the brackets.
I was mistaken.
There's a dot, dot, dot button.
What's the dot, dot, dot button?
Yeah, right here. What does that do? Actually,
that plus O gets you a left bracket plus P.
It also pulls up the keyboard.
Oh, it's like a
in scientific in scientific stuff.
Well, then hit O and you get the bracket. So do dot, 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 and then O and you get the bracket.
Dot, 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 O.
So there's a key dedicated to scientific symbols, but there isn't a key for caps lock.
Shut up. I don't know what I'm doing now. Okay, so if I do this and then O?
That's what it says.
At the same time.
Yeah, bracket. Yeah, yeah, no, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and P is the right bracket.
Yeah.
All right, so that and one is tilde? No, that and one does something else.
And then for the Chrome app, it uses control as the key.
When you use that tilde, you got to really want it.
You have to want it. All right. Well, anyway, nobody cares because nobody else has a Pixel C. But I guess we did find a new key. I didn't even notice that. But there's that. There's a weird kind of dot, dot, an ellipsis key.
Ellipsis key.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
And that pulls up scientific. That pulls up stuff that, oh, you know what that is? That's stuff that's not on the keyboard. These are extra things that are not on the keyboard is what that is.
Hmm. The Pixel team went on Reddit this morning to answer questions and says is coming.
Yeah, see, I think that's all it I would say that's all it really needs. And then you're just kind of at the mercy of developers. But it's getting hot.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, this is that new Tegra X1 chip, which is, it's actually, I think it's one of those weird chips that's got two speeds, two cores. Uses day-to-day uses a slower one, but if it needs it, it'll kick into high gear.
It's also a hot plate and a room heater.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is a good palm warmer. Actually, it's all right up on the left side. I like it, and I think this is, I'm going to use this. I think I will use this.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'd love to see split screen. So as you were saying, the Pixel is very popular in schools, according to...
The Chromebook, you mean?
The Chromebook,
what did I say? The Chrome, not the Pixel, the Chromebook.
Yeah,
I doubt very much schools are buying Pixels.
Only in very expensive private schools.
Yeah, more than half. And this is devastating, sort of, for Apple and really devastating for Microsoft. And
it also says the Chrome OS is not going away.
Right, that's right. It also has to be said, though, that the performance of the Chromebook in schools is a U.S. phenomenon. Internationally, it's not doing that well. It's down in the single digits in some markets, but killing it in the U.S. education market.
Well, I think more and more schools want to do a one-to-one program, so they sit down and say, oh, by the way, that might be what the Pixel C is all about.
Hmm.
They sit down and they say, all right, we want to do a one-to-one program. Do we buy a Mac, a Windows, iPad, Chromebook? This what this is.
Yeah, the old tablet versus laptop. Now you get both.
That's what this is.
And it's not, and nobody's going to buy that, but it's a demonstration project to show manufacturers.
Somebody quick make a cheap one of these, like that lamp thing.
This is actually too expensive, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
That one is too expensive.
So it's a Chromebook Pixel. But a
Chromebook's $200. Chromebooks, right. So that's interesting. Because I think schools do want, I think they very much want tablets. In fact, it breaks my heart. Our local school district here is doing a one-to-one program with iPads.
Yeah.
And they're just not, it's just a waste of money. It's just throwing away money, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. They do want tablets, but they shouldn't. They should want a $200 Chromebook with a keyboard and, you know, has a touchpad on it and all that kind of stuff. That's ideal for students. But essentially what they're doing is they're caving to student demands, a generation of kids who grew up on smartphones.
Not even students, parents. I really think parents are what determine this. And parents get all excited when they hear, oh, they're giving them iPads. That's so modern.
Right. They're and preparing them for the future.
Yes. Yeah. So get a load of this. On the Pixel help page, recovering your Pixel C using a USB device is not supported. If you're having trouble recovering, please contact us.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Mm.
But that's like an Android phone. You can recover an Android phone, right? I mean, you just have to know what you're doing.
I would think so.
Did you order one, Mr. Jarvis?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pissed. I'm just like Jason there. I'm pissed at you.
Well, they didn't send me one as a review unit, so they felt bad.
Yeah.
And they said, well, let's get Leo's out the door. Yeah. Go ahead. Would you see that one that says Jason Howell and that other Jeff Jarvis one? Put that aside.
Why don't we go ahead and process that for a good 24 to 36 hours before we change that to shipping?
You're still processing.
Yes.
Did you pay for the top of the line delivery?
Yeah.
$22 delivery?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of something. You can do Skype on a tablet.
Skype is on this.
Can I do the show from that device?
Of course you could.
The problem is I've got to get I'm just going to bring a little router so I can plug in a regular USB headset.
Yeah, does that device have any sort of plugged in Ethernet? Probably not that. Wi-Fi only. So there's that.
Well, no, but you can do Ethernet through your little router. I have one of those. I have a
Well, yeah, but that's still Wi-Fi. I wonder if through the C connector.
No. You do this. I bought one of these.
Ethernet, but I don't know, does that work? We don't know.
Yeah, it does. This is the C.
Well, it works with a Chromebook. We don't know if that'll work with the Pixel.
You got one hanging. Oh, I see. I'm better. I don't know. That's a good question.
We will find out.
We will find out indeed. But I would find out now if I had mine, but I don't.
Alas.
So basically what you're saying, Jeff, is Google has figured out a way for you to not use Google Hangouts.
Yes.
Thank God.
Microsoft's alternative.
Thank God.
I love how dedicated Jeff is to doing these shows on using Google software or devices.
Yeah.
By the way, the sound last week, I didn't listen to it, but when Matt and I had to be in the room without a headset, how was it?
It was okay.
Oh, okay. Because you didn't complain. Usually you'd complain.
Well, I didn't have a choice, I didn't think.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, yeah, other people complained. The chat room complained.
Oh, sorry, Jeff.
It wasn't horrible, was it, Jason? I don't know what the final edit sounds like. But
I think all things considered, last week was one of those shows where
we'll
take it the way we can because there were so many different voices.
Thank you for getting Richard Gingras.
Richard Gingras was great to have. I don't know how he felt about it, but it was a great discussion.
Well, do you think, I mean, we were talking about AMP, Gina. And Gingras is, of course, as head of Google News, kind of spearheading this effort.
But it was a great discussion.
I was a little challenging.
I thought it was. I loved hearing you grill him because so many companies like Google, Microsoft, others, they're optimistic about things that never work, and they act like, oh, this is just all going to work just fine, and it's all going to be just fine, and nobody's going. No, it isn't going to be just fine. It's going to be different from what you're saying. 100% certain that it's not going to be.
It was funny, Leo, because somebody who's implemented AMP. Sent me an email today saying, I just watched the show and Leo doesn't understand AMP. No, Leo's playing devil's advocate to ask all the questions everybody's asking.
Well, what do you think? Do I not understand AMP?
I think you understand AMP, but I think you're more you're very concerned about
AMP. Understand AMP.
No, you.
I understand AMP. You don't understand AMP.
No, you don't understand.
I want to be like Donald Trump because life is so easy for him.
Yeah.
Just say whatever the hell comes into your mind.
No one understands AMP.
They're stupid, foolish people. They made AMP. They're foolish people. You're stupid.
And by the way, I made a version of AMP that's way better.
I'm a genius. I mean, I know I... he's got... I would love not to have any... Have to have zero reflectiveness. Yeah. Zero self-insight. Zero... Just like confidence... Without any qualms at all. I mean,
extreme narcissism.
I think it's called having money.
Maybe. I bet he was like that when he was 8.
Yeah, no. I think it's extreme narcissism.
When he was 8, too. So.
He has no sense of anyone else. It's all about him. Everything's about him. And it's just pathologically narcissistic. But
I don't know. I don't want to deprecate him like that. I think it's.
Oh, I do.
Well, I mean, I want to deprecate him, but I want to give him some credit.
Well, to pull this together, I mean, companies are kind of, you know, it's their job to act like Trump, right? Like, so like Mike was saying, you know, companies are just like, this is just going to work. I mean, that's their job, right?
Right.
And it's our job to question them about it.
Well, maybe not. You know? Right.
Right.
That's our job. You're right.
Exactly.
They don't have to do our job. We have to do our job. The problem is.
Right.
In many cases, the press no longer does its job, which makes it really bad.
But the issue you were zeroing in on was the perfect issue because it was essentially about how everything depends on Google servers working flawlessly. And by the way, remember when half the internet went down, when all the things supported by Amazon Web Services, when that crashed, that had a glitch, and there was like 6 hours where half the stuff that we used didn't...
I don't mind the single point of failure. I just feel like it's kind of a land grab for Google to say, or any company to say, especially a for-profit company to say, oh, by the way, everything's going through our servers and only...
That's not how the internet is supposed to work.
They don't get any benefit off it going through their servers. It's not like...
Why not?
because I think they're careful about that, because they get smashed. They're giving you free, as Richard said, a lot of companies pay a fortune for their CDN. So this is free CDN.
Yeah, no, that's good.
The company that should hate it. I feel like
any company that comes along and says, but this is free.
Yeah.
And this is a for-profit company.
Right.
And they say, but no, I'm giving you a free CDN. You got to ask yourself, why are they giving me a free CDN? What's in it for them?
Right.
Because we will use the web exponentially more when it's faster.
Yeah.
Right.
When I give people the AMP demo, they're amazed. Sorry, Gina.
No, I mean, it's in Google's interest, right, for the web to work better, right? They want people on the web. But, I mean, Leo, like, if that's the case, I mean, everybody should be questioning everything that Google's ever made because it's been free forever. Yes. You know, like, I'm totally with you. I'm completely with you.
So Gmail, free. But Gmail's not free because Google just loves everybody and wants the web to work better. Gmail's free so that they can scan through it and give you better ads or ads that are they could charge more for their ads. It would be foolish to assume that any for-profit company, I don't think it, in this day and age you could say, well, no, I bought this for a long time. Just use the web more. We're happy. It's more than that. That's not enough to say that. I think there's always got to be. They're publicly held. They have a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility to stakeholders to make money, not to give money away, not to give away services. Right. They're going to put advertising on AMP. And by doing this, by the way, they short-circuit this whole issue of ads and overactive ad networks. And basically, it's an advertising blocker that blocks all ads except, Google's ads, right?
No, he dealt with that last week. No, that's not true.
He said it's not going to, other ads could be in here.
Yeah. The problem is up to Google whether that's true or not.
Yeah.
It's up to Google's in charge of whether or not that's true in this in this scenario, theoretically. And the other thing is that you can't even quite compare inbox or Gmail on the one hand with AMP on the other, because inbox and Gmail, that's a service you opt into and you agree to the thing you don't read and all that stuff, and it's a service. It's on the end. It's a but AMP is like how the internet works. So it's a little different to be going proprietary on that stuff. Because
I agree.
The reality is that if you look at the history of the internet in the early days, nobody could make money on the internet. And so all the standards were developed in a spirit of cooperation and so on with the small number of people who are involved in that stuff. And now there are multi-hundred-billion-dollar corporations who all are trying to make tons and tons of money on the internet. And so it's harder to get standards going. And so the standards bodies, you kept harping away about how it should go through the standards bodies. Well, that's why. Because the interests at stake.
I wish you'd been here. You're
Facebook,
so much more eloquent.
Well, Facebook, Facebook has their ultra proprietary standard for speeding up the internet. And so Google's going to have
and
one.
Apple does.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not how it's supposed to work. Companies with billions at stake shouldn't be determining internet standards.
Yeah. But then the standards process should be better, and it's not.
Well,
and so this is what I said to the publishers. If Google didn't do this, we'd be here a year later saying, pages are all slow and screwed up. But nobody comes to them, and they're all installing.
No, you know what? The market, by the way, the magic free hand of the market, has a lot to say about that. Yeah. That's why we have ad blockers. Right. The market's absolutely weighing in, saying, you know what? I don't think that's a bad solution.
That's what Google's trying to save here.
They're trying to prevent that.
Right.
They say, better than ad blockers, we'll do it.
Right.
But you know what? The market is weighing in. The market's saying, this is too slow, so we're going to run ad blockers. We're going to run script filters. We're not going to let you do all that crap.
Also, who says there has to be a kind of Moore's Law for internet bloat? Well, if the internet is way too slow, then why are companies building web pages that are so slow? You can build them faster. You can build them. You don't have to constantly accelerate the size of the page that loads. Who says you have to do that?
Right.
You know, it's got to, whatever the demand is that people are choosing,
Well, that's the other thing that bothered me. I mean, I have a 1 megabyte background on my website, but I do that because it's aesthetic, it's pretty, and it makes it a better website. I don't like the AMPed version because it's ugly, and it's fast. But I mean, it's nice that people could vote. I mean, it's nice to say, okay, I want the AMPed version or the non-AMPed version.
The vast majority of internet users will never know what AMP is or even know that it exists.
Oh, no, it's Intel inside.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's what essentially bothers me is they're saying, well, don't use the image tag. We'll do our own thing.
Yeah.
Don't use JavaScript unless we approve it. That bothers me. But
that's why they've got to deal with the governance sooner than I think quickly.
So. Yeah,
quickly.
I think so. Yeah. But I didn't want to bring this all back up again, but I did want a report card because maybe I don't understand app, and maybe the things I brought up weren't
important. Well, if you want, I'll ask that person to come on the show.
You can explain it. Yeah. Is it somebody who really knows, or is it just some Twitter?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. No, really, 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 really does.
Okay, all right.
You
yeah,
will
please.
Get amp-splained.
I'll get amp-splained. Continued momentum for the AMP project. Google's going to send traffic to AMP pages in Google Search in February. Twitter's going to experiment with linking to AMP content provided by publishers early in 2016. Does that mean they'll take a link that I put in and automatically AMP it?
No, if there's an AMP version, they'll go to the AMP version.
That's what I mean. So if I put in a link to an article, they will replace it with the AMP version of
it. Oh, I
article.
See what you're saying. Yes, I believe so.
Pinterest currently testing publisher AMP pages in their iOS and Android apps. Found that AMP pages load 4 times faster and 8 times less data. And
that's 8 times less data. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, certainly the market has something to say about that. Yeah. It was constrained bandwidth on mobile. Line, Viber, and Tango, which are messaging apps, will do what Twitter's going to do, link to AMP content. That means, I guess, again, translate URLs. I'm not sure I'm thrilled about that. Feel like if I put a link in, it should go to the page that I linked to, not a page that somebody says, well, this is the better one. CMS providers like WordPress are supporting it as well. WordPress will support all publishers that wish to enable AMP pages starting in January. In analytics, Comscore, Chartbeat, Google Analytics, and Parsley will have AMP support in their tools. That's important because many analytics tools use client-side JavaScript, and AMP would block that.
Right.
So if you're going to use Chartbeat, AMP would make it stop working. So you'd have to provide a special AMP version of Chartbeat. 4 key areas of the AMP project: advertising, the initial roadmap for ads, faster ads, ads that can resize, support for viewability, integration with data management providers, and sponsored content. Boy, it just looks more and more to me like this is the Google version of the internet.
It's to compete with the Facebook version of the internet.
Yeah. No, yes, I'm trying to carry Google's water here and not knowing enough about it. But I think this is their answer to the closed internet, which is Facebook. And this is them trying to make it open.
That's fine.
Now, you don't have to use two questions. If Google said, screw that, be in the CDN, we won't cache any content because it makes you nervous. Does that make you more comfortable? Because you can do that. You don't have to use Google's cache.
No, I know they're potentially third party.
I would imagine there'd be tons of those, right?
Companies doing that. I think more it's about that Google's setting the standard. So Google says which JavaScript. Yeah, it's governance.
That's exactly what I've said. I've said when we were at these last two Google events where I was, I've said that. That you've got to get, and some of the really smart publishers said, you know, we trust you, we're glad you built this, this is good.
Right.
But the thing about governance, which is funny, is what works in open source, tell me if I'm wrong here, but what works in an open source project is it's not that, I pick you to be in the governance committee. No, what works in open source is you're a big contributor, thus you have a role in governance. So we don't know who's contributing yet. So there's a bit of a lag, a syncopation there, but they've got to get people, and there's a lot of developers working on it, but it can't be Google's hand-picked fellow travelers either.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I should have said, this is Richard Gingras's post from a couple of days back about AMP progress. They say advertising companies that have expressed their intention to support AMP include Outbrain, AOL, Taboola, OpenX, DoubleClick, AdSense, PubMatic, Integral Ad Science, Moat, Smart AdSense Server, Crux, Polar, Nativo, and Teeds.tv. I don't see AOL. I don't see iAds, Apple's solution.
What about Yahoo? Sorry, just a little joke.
Yeah, Yahoo. Well, what about Yahoo? I mean, aren't they still in that business, at least for a while?
Tick, 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 tick for another week.
What is going on with Yahoo? It's unclear because, you know, we saw that Wall Street Journal article that said, you know what, the board is going to meet and they're going to fire Marissa and they're going to sell everything off. And then we came to the conclusion on Twitter on Sunday, well, this is probably a planted post by activist Yahoo investors who want this to happen because, of course, they want to get their money out. Part of it prompted by the fact that the IRS refused to say whether or not the sale of the of Yahoo Japan and Alibaba assets would be a tax-free sale. Everybody thought it wouldn't cost them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden there could be a $10 billion tax bill. Oh, well, maybe we'll do something else. So they start brooding about going to the Wall Street Journal and placing stories saying, well, what if we sold the core assets? But it's unclear really what the board's going to do. One thing that's happened, Max Levchin is off the board. He was, I think, a Marissa Meyer hire.
I think so.
She brought him in. So. Yeah. Former PayPal founder.
Peter Kafka had a great tweet, which was old Yahoo plan 2+3=5. New Yahoo plan 3+2=5. I mean, I think the difference is the board, everybody got nervous about the tax implications of spinning off the investments. So the investments have to be in the core company, which they can rename the core company, like, you know, Gannett.
It's all made up. This is like Alphabet.
It's all made up.
It's all made
up. All it is, it's spin off one, spin off the other. It really doesn't matter.
And if you're a stockholder, you get stock in all the spinoffs.
Right. But the market price, they lost like $1.5 billion in the last
year. Lord. What do you think? Let's talk about this. Gina, you're a huge, I mean, you were a Flickr user. I think you had, like me, a soft spot for Yahoo. Has Marissa Meyer been good for Yahoo over the last 3 years?
Oh, that's a hard question. I'll be honest. I haven't been following. I think that she had a good start there for a while. I mean, I'm looking at this purely from just like a consumer product perspective. They released a couple of interesting updates, you know, new apps in the beginning. There was a news app. There was a weather app. There were a couple of promising new things. Flickr had a few improvements. And I thought, oh, you know, this is great. Like that, you know, Yahoo's going to be part of my daily life again. And that didn't quite happen. I'll be totally honest. I haven't been following. I didn't even realize that this was going on. I haven't been following the story, you know, the board and the...
God, you have been busy coding, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I have. So it's just less interesting to me, that part. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think that the hope that we all had when Meyer was installed, I guess to say, was, you know, that Yahoo is going to have really relevant consumer products again. And I don't think that that's happened.
I think we overestimate the ability of CEOs to affect already large companies that already have an entrenched culture. And this is kind of like AOL in the sense that, you know, she took I thought it was a good move for her because I don't think that if this fails, which it was always likely to do, it's really her fault. I don't think it was salvageable. I think she's a very competent person. She was very much using the Google playbook on what she was trying to do, but she didn't have Google to work with. She didn't have the world of Google, the culture of Google to work with. She had what she had. Well, what Yahoo has always done is they've always, since they used to have what people used to use, you know, the whole model of having a portal, which was, you know, a completely defunct and now completely obsolete way to use the internet. They've just acquired things. They acquire companies. They've acquired probably hundreds of companies.
Tumblr was $1.1 billion.
Yeah. Well, that's what she came in and in that culture with those advisors, with what they had to work with, all they had left was, okay, let's keep buying companies.
Right.
And so what is Yahoo? Nobody can answer this question because it's just a bunch of companies that for some reason are owned by one company. So I just think, I mean, I'm on the outside. I'm not on the board. I'm not, you know, in the executive suite at Yahoo. But it seems to me that it's just over. Close it. Sell off the pieces and just be done with it.
Let's forget, you know, Verizon buying the whole thing and putting it with AOL and this wonderful new graveyard. What are the things that are valuable on Yahoo? Yahoo Finance?
The weird thing is that when the value in Alibaba is about $35 billion. Remember, the stock market's valuing it, I haven't seen the latest, but around $50
billion. Yeah.
$35 billion for Alibaba. What was it, $15 billion for Yahoo Japan. The core business, they have considerable cash.
Make that $32.9 billion market cap.
So the value that the market is assigning to Yahoo is less
than zero.
Than the Alibaba share stake in Yahoo, which to me, I don't.
So I see a scenario.
This is like AMP. I don't understand it.
I see a scenario where the Alibaba stake becomes a financial vehicle and that becomes, you know, new Yahoo One.
Right.
And then
silly. What Yahoo will be is their stake in Alibaba and Yahoo Japan. Yeah. That will be what Yahoo will be. And then there'll be the Tumblr company or whatever.
Right, it's a tracking structure. Yeah. Right. And so then if you take Yahoo Functions, then what the heck? Marissa, go ahead. You know, whatever.
Do whatever you want.
Get any value you can out of it. Right. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is to cut it up in pieces, which, you know, and again, so what's valuable? Does Flickr still have value?
Yeah.
Does it still have value? Tumblr has value.
Yes.
Yahoo Finance has
value. Well, the question, though, is Tumblr's value equal to what they paid for it or less at this point?
Probably not. That's hard to say.
Yeah. But there's also, somebody raised this in the chat room, and maybe, Gina, you know from your programmer friends, but there was the thought that Meyer had kind of alienated the engineering team. The good programmers left. She certainly, a lot of high-level executives, even some she'd brought in, left. And there were some very expensive departures.
She had a nearly impossible job. She made some controversial decisions, like the work-at-home decision, not working from home decision, which I actually think was reasonably justified. She's a hard ass in a good way. She's a product person, which is why I hope that this was going to be about turning Yahoo into a consumer product company. There was this mythology around her, you know, hand drawing the logo, you know, the new logo of the company, even though she's not a designer, but like this hands-on, roll up your sleeve, do your thing. To be clear, I'm still a huge fan. I think she's great. I didn't mean to throw her under the bus by being like, this didn't turn into the consumer product company that I thought it was going to be. I think that the Tumblr purchase was right on. I think Tumblr is hugely valuable. It's a vibrant social network of young creative people. I mean, Flickr is used less, but she had a nearly impossible task to turn things around. I don't know what's going to happen.
But the really impossible task was asshole investors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really the problem.
They should make it private.
Actually, that was one thing we talked about, is that perhaps they could raise the money to take it private.
Well, Marissa, I have, as long as Marissa's reputation is still good in Silicon Valley, which I think it is, given that the value of Yahoo core is greater than the sum of its parts, then what would it take for, what would she have to raise to just take that private and be the CEO of that?
Well, you'd sell Alibaba the share, and then basically what you could do
that's what's going to happen, Mike. What's going to happen is Alibaba and Yahoo Japan stay as core Yahoo. They spin off old Yahoo and take that private without any value of the Yahoo Japan or Alibaba. That's going to stay. That's what the investors are saying. We want that. That's the only thing that's valuable. So take the unvaluable parts, and can Marissa take it private? That's why maybe the board is not throwing her under the bus.
Maybe
that's the plan, is to say, Marissa, good luck. You can do anything with this. Great. And we'll own a piece of what you do. And, you know, you'll pay us some pennies on the negative pennies, and fine.
Their revenue is not horrific. They have revenue of $1.2 billion last quarter. They had earnings of $76 million last quarter. This is a profitable company. It's not a failing private equity play.
It's a great cash flow play.
Yeah.
If you were private equity, forget. Verizon buying it. I don't get that. But if private equity could put up enough money to take this thing and leverage buyout, given the negative value, I think she could then build stuff. And maybe you sell stuff off. I think you're right about Tumblr, Gina. You know, when I took my daughter's high school class last year when she was there over to see Katie Couric, as we're going up the elevator, they didn't say, "Oh, we're in Yahoo." They said, "Can we see Instagram? Can we see Tumblr?
Yeah.
Can we see Tumblr?"
But is that still the case this year? That's the problem. This stuff is very temporary.
Yeah, that's true.
I am looking at the net earnings from a year ago were $6.7 billion. This year, $76 million, this quarter. So year over year, that's not – the revenue was up, but the earnings were down by a factor of 10. I mean, that's – or more, 100. That's a significant – so I can see why this – maybe they're not jerks. But I see why the shareholders are a little nervous.
I just think intuitively that the concept of just buying companies and going after the synergies they always talk about in acquisitions is a delusion.
Yeah.
There are no synergies.
Hasn't worked in a while.
Some of these properties, and I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for Yahoo owned sites and services. The list of ones they've closed is much longer, by the way, than the ones they still have open. The one they still have open is probably like 4 or 5 dozen Yahoo Sports, Yahoo Travel, Yahoo TV, Yahoo Screen, all those different things. Some of those are being carried by other companies. And I think that to the greatest extent possible, they got to stand on their own. That's the genius of Alphabet. Because what they're doing is they, well, Life Sciences, now now called Verily, or whatever. These companies have to live and die on their own. And each of them could turn into a monster. And some of them could remain tiny. And that's what should happen to individual properties that are not connected to other properties.
And, Mike, you're right. By the way, some of Google's investments, you know, Uber and such, could go Alibaba. But it's isolated enough. It doesn't overwhelm the value of the core company.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And it doesn't tarnish the reputation, et cetera, et cetera. Part of Yahoo's problem is reputation. Everybody thinks they're old and busted. They're a dinosaur. And I think that an Alphabet-style model, especially if it wasn't public for the non-Alibaba properties, could really work for them.
Hmm.
And I think it's even a possibility given the fact that Marissa is really in that Google culture. She's she really sees Google as the company culturally.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know. I like your plan.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's become hostile investors and make it happen.
That's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Anybody's got even a share of Yahoo comes with pitchforks and torches. Let's take a break. Yeah. Having fun. Jeff Jarvis is here. Mike Elgin.
Most importantly, Gina
Trapani.
Gina Trapani is here.
Yeah.
So nice.
We're just going to keep kissing your butt until you come back, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Thanks for the holiday gift basket, by the way. It was amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, did you get a mouthful? Jeez. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I got a mouthful. Thank you.
There's more coming. We have more gifts coming your way.
Right here, I just had the first one.
What's that?
So good.
That was the peanut butter nougat with sea salt.
Oh.
I shouldn't have done it.
I feel we felt a little bad sending these out because we know we're basically, poisoning you with goodies. But isn't that what the holidays are all about?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Giving your friends things that are bad for them.
Gluttony.
Gluttony.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good. I'm off the hook. Good. Well, I'm glad you got it. That's good. I'm glad you got it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, enjoy those. Our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. You're lucky. We should send just everybody a Blue Apron box.
Right.
But then you got to cook. But that's part of the fun. I like to cook. You're a huge cook.
I love to cook, yeah.
There's something about making a meal for the people you love. It is, I feel like, and maybe that's because that's how I grew up, but this, I feel like that's one of the best ways to show somebody you love them. And when you make them a meal that is special and unique and has wonderful ingredients, is healthful but incredibly delicious, it's just the nicest thing, one of the nicest things you can do for somebody. Blue Apron makes that possible by setting you up. They're like your wingman, They're setting you up with all the ingredients you need, fresh from the farm. They all use local farms, fresh meats, fishes. They have vegetarian too. So if you're vegetarian, there's every diet need can be accommodated. And then my mouth always waters when I do these ads. And then they give you the recipe card, and you can make, in less than an hour, you can make an incredible meal for a loved one, for date night, for just a special occasion. This is amazing. They have family plans, too, so you can feed your family with kid-friendly ingredients and so forth. It's less than $10 a meal. It's very affordable. Each meal, about 500 to 700 calories a portion, and they're incredible. Stuff that you probably wouldn't even think of. I know I find myself in a rut. I always make kind of the same 5 things over and over. But imagine spiced pork chops with charred poblano salsa and sweet potato mash.
You know what I love about Blue Apron? 2 things I love about it. One of them is you just mentioned it, the ingredients. They send you ingredients that are like, where would you get this?
Yeah.
Like I have no idea what sort of I would have to go find some store.
I figure that's funny that you should say that because I figure, Mike Elgin knows what farro is. He probably cooks with it all the time.
I do know what farro is, but sometimes there's a lot of
I call those the Mike Elgin ingredients.
We were watching the video here, and one of the ingredients was Turkish yogurt. Okay, Turkish yogurt.
What's that?
Well, it's Greek yogurt is very thick. It's even thicker than that.
Wow.
And I do make Turkish yogurt, but most people, where do you get it?
You
can't get it. Yeah. You can't get good, but they'll just send it to you. Stuff from the
I've had the weird, unique bok choy. I wish I could remember the name. It was the best bok choy I ever had.
Yeah.
And it's completely unique.
Yeah.
Things like watermelon, radishes.
Yeah.
I this is part of the fun of it. It opens your eyes to new ways of making things. This is Jason Howell making his lamb shawarma. And the recipe
was that shot with glass?
Yeah, yep. Was it?
Yes, it was. It was. Yep.
Nice.
get the Google connection in there, of course, because he's using both hands.
Yeah, it's perfect for this.
So here's the deal. You can get two meals free to try this out right now at blueapron.com/twit. Blueapron.com/twit. And you really get a sense of what this is like. And I just encourage you to do it. And make it a special occasion. Get some candles, some silver, some china, nice china, maybe a good bottle of wine, and make it a Blue Apron night tonight. Blueapron.com/twit. You'll have fun
there
making
it.
Oh,
man. There it is.
Good.
There's the end.
Now I'm hungry. Oh, thanks, Jason.
Man.
The final.
Yum.
And then the next picture wasn't taken because I was taking a bite.
Yum.
So, you know.
And it made the glass fall off his head. It was so good.
So and I can't stand good. Hearing people chew their food. So the glass, that'd be a real problem. That'd be a real problem.
What is this? Step inside your photos with the cardboard camera. You can make
very
your.
Very neat.
Very cool. Yep.
Tell me about this.
Very cool.
So this,
you're just making a panorama with the cardboard app, and then you put the cardboard on, and you can now see that it's instant demonstration of immersive photography.
But it's more than that because it actually processes 3D from the 3D. Video that you take.
Oh, neat!
One so it's that, creating 3D video with just your camera.
So do it now, phone. Leo.
This is well. I have to install it. I mean, I don't have it yet.
You have to view it within the app. Someday you'll be able to view it without the app. But right now you have to view it in the app.
Well, you posted that Star Wars 3D immersive video clip, right? Or somebody did.
Somebody did. I don't think it was me.
Might have been Scoble on Facebook. There are places now you can see these. YouTube, Facebook.
Yep. But what's brilliant to me about this is, of course, Google has had Photosphere for a long time, and people always take Photospheres wrong. The right way to take a Photosphere is you hold the device in one place, and you turn it like
and you
this.
Rotate but on the axis.
But when you move a foot or so each time you take another sector, in this app, it's good.
Oh.
Because it gives you a slightly different angle, which gives you the stereoscopic effect. This is all about a stereoscopic effect, the illusion of 3D in depth.
Okay.
And that's what's great about this. And so you want to move it 6 inches to a foot each time you take another shot, because you see the objects that are closer a little bit, you know, on this side of it than this side, and then it creates that illusion.
So this is the cardboard camera as opposed to cardboard.
Yes. Exactly.
Been out for a while.
Yes. Exactly.
So okay, so you have to take it with the cardboard camera, this photo.
Yes.
And it goes into your photos, and does it sync up to Google Photos and all that the other photo?
You have to look at it within the app. So you have to use cardboard with this app to view it.
Right now.
It's Android only right now. So I think eventually it'll be like that, Gina. It'll be something you can
just
post.
Just go stand
somewhere.
Up in front of your desk and turn around and do it. Yeah, do it.
All right. And it records sound too, which is kind of cool.
Exactly.
Does the sound move around? Oh, so the sound is on. So it says sound on. So will the sound
you better
move?
Stand up. You better stand up to do it.
That is you're going to have to do a full rotation
all the way around. Well, I'm on a rotating chair. Position. That's going to be easy.
Yeah, you don't have to do a full photosphere. You can do a little brief panorama.
Oh, you can. Okay.
You're after the stereoscopic effect more than the panorama
move
effect.
Move your phone smoothly to the right.
It told me to slow down. I was doing it in the airport.
Oh, try again moving more slowly. Okay. I'm trying to rotate on the chair's axis. That's the key, right?
The chair was going to hit the mic in a second. No.
Yeah. Okay. Step one, get a Dr. Evil chair.
Yeah,
step two.
But I am going to be wrapped
look at the back of that
my,
thing.
Yeah, this is funny. Alone.
All right, I'm going to be wrapped up in my headphone cord. All right.
Oh, no, it's going to unplug. Oh, there goes. Cord.
I can no longer hear
Leo's about to unwind.
He's no longer connected to the matrix.
Okay. And done.
Okay. Good, he can't hear us. We can say anything we want to about him now.
Oh, I spilled everything. Oh, my God. It's all... Oh, the humanity.
You destroyed the Pixel C.
Oh, my God. Keep it away from the power.
I hope that Pixel C was worth this 3D image.
Jeez Louise, Leo, I wish you'd stop doing that.
Folks, don't try this at home.
Pretty much everybody. Sorry. I didn't know that was there.
This is a fun episode of hands-on demos.
Back in.
Yeah.
It's churning on this now. Right?
Yeah, it takes a little bit.
It takes a little bit. Not that long, though. It's pretty surprising.
Yeah,
it's almost done. Here's done.
It's a lot of
churning
going on.
It's computing. It's done computing.
Yeah, see?
Now what do? I have to put on cardboard to do this?
Put it in the cardboard.
I mean, you don't have to. You can tap
it
on it.
The app, yeah.
And just go like this.
And go tap the cardboard button.
Oh.
And
so it'll give me the cardboard.
Yeah. And then that'll go away in a second.
Uh-huh.
And there you go. That's
oh, my God.
Effects.
Oh, they?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
if you look at it in cardboard, you'll see the stereoscopic. Well, you may not see much stereoscopic because you didn't move off the axis. But
he did, though.
You'll see
it
enough.
He carved a circle in
space.
Go
ahead and put it in the cardboard because it's funny watching you.
It's not good TV to be watching me.
No, it's funny.
Looking at something you can't see. That's not.
Oh, I like that. And when you take your earplug out, we'll just make fun of you.
You should put on your headphones, though, with this, right? Because.
Yeah, you get the audio.
You get the
audio. Well, you could do, I think you could, so you could record. Well, yeah, it is neat to have audio in there.
I didn't know that happened. It doesn't really.
I didn't know that
happened. It doesn't really fit.
Oh, yeah, the old cardboard.
Press harder.
Oh, crap. What the hell? What am I seeing?
This is weird.
What is that? I'm seeing the interface.
You're seeing.
Well, because you got it. Where's your viewmaster?
You have a live view of it.
I have a live view of the interface. That's weird. All right, let's do that again.
Yeah.
Where is this?
There we go. Now it's doing its right.
Got it right.
No, it went back. It's doing, you know what? It's the NFC's changing. Well, no, but what is it doing? Look what it's seeing. It's seeing,
it's got the menu.
The
screen of the app in 3D.
He doesn't understand AMP.
I don't understand anything. I don't know how I survive. Thank God I can breathe.
And you run tech shows? What?
What? What the hell? That's the same picture. Oh,
yeah,
I see.
It's the VR interface. You could tap any of those when that menu comes up and jump right into it.
So if I do this, see it using a different viewer switch. Oh, you can do other viewers. Let's see what the other viewers are. You could tap it into the other viewers. Because I have the Gear VR at home. And,
yeah.
All right. Can I post this anywhere?
Nope.
It has to be viewed within the app.
No, but can he share it with anybody else?
Can I just say, I can open the gallery, but what's
You must be able to.
I think right now it's just within the app for you.
I think there's something happens when I put it in the cardboard. Because it's looking good right there.
You set up your cardboard app with a given viewer. You may have set it up with a later viewer.
See what I'm seeing? I don't know.
You have to open it.
It's screwed up.
What it is, you're seeing a stereoscopic view of the app interface.
Interface.
Not the
But that's not what I see. When I take it out, I see the right. Yeah. No, wait a minute. Now I'm seeing the wrong thing again.
It's totally bizarre. But this app...
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea, but it also highlights the fact that the stuff we call virtual reality is actually lots of things. One of them is virtual reality. One's mixed reality. One's augmented reality. Very different from mixed reality. One is immersive video, which we've talked about. I know Jeff, this is something you've talked about: the importance of differentiating between immersive video and virtual reality, et cetera. And this is stereoscopic photography. It's different from 3D.
That's a new thing.
It's kind of a new thing. I mean, those ViewMasters, that's what that was.
Right.
Where you look at, here's Disney in 19 whatever.
Right.
So I just sent you the one I did in the airport, Leo, because if you can go to the image, you can open it in something else. You can open it in Google Photo, then you can share it from there.
Right. And then somebody can then.
I think I just sent you the one I did in the airport.
But can I get it? All right, I'm not going to experiment anymore. This has not been my day for experimenting. I do want to play.
Fix it all, Leo.
I do want to play a song through the Pixel C. We haven't heard the speakers yet. Do you want to hear the speakers?
I do.
How about some hipster approved classic rock?
Nice.
Fireplace. Oh, the biggest Christmas hits of all time, of course. So let's just play a little. Too many devices. Okay, heck with that. I can't because I have a limited number of devices. So. YouTube. I can do YouTube. I thought I fixed that, but apparently not. Here's some YouTube something. Let's play a YouTube. Funny cats. No. I want music. Who do you like? Who do you like on the YouTube? Gaga?
Speak of the devil?
Sure.
Lady Gaga mix. All right. Now, how do I turn it up?
Good question. With your finger, probably.
There's no volume button on it.
There's no volume on the side?
No.
There's not a volume button on the keyboard?
I have to do it in the software,
It's probably
I guess.
A something plus something.
About control plus, I don't know.
Can you tell me, Jeff, would you look that up?
That's what I'm looking for right now.
It's pretty loud, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it probably doesn't get much louder than that.
Oh, there we go.
It's not the bassiest.
Doesn't sound as good as the iPad Pro by any stretch.
Not even close. Yeah, you probably would want to put headphones on. So there you go. There's enough of that.
Sorry, Gaga.
Sorry, Gaga. Best apps and best games of 2015. You probably spent some time talking about this yesterday.
No, we actually didn't.
All About Android. You did not?
Ah, we didn't touch this one.
Yay.
That's weird. Go ahead and have it, Leo.
You're giving it to me. Aren't you sweet? Is it in the, if I go to the Play Store, will I be able to see this in the Play Store? Apps and games. Best of 2015. Here we are. Fallout Shelter, best game. Mobile Strike, Deer Hunter 2016. Clash of Clans, Crossy Road. Yeah, this is all what you'd expect. Candy Crush Saga, Panda Pop. These are like the, this is like just, you know.
Greatest hits.
Greatest hits, yeah. Best apps. Color Flight Coloring Book. Haven't seen that one. Jet, that's the Amazon competitor that has no chance of succeeding.
Yeah.
But they have a great app.
But they're trying, and Google wants to give them a.
These are all launched in 2015?
We are proud to present the best of 2015 selection across apps, games, and entertainment. Check out the top titles of the year all in one place.
It so, has to be stuff that's new in 2015.
And by the way, when you press read more, it gives you the same sentence, and that's all. So
anyway, I'm just being a picky
no, but that's a good. What are the criteria? Because no, I think Lightroom did it. No, I mean some of this. I don't. You know what? This is not a good list. This is like.
Oops. Yeah, this doesn't look like a good list.
This is not
HBO
what you
now.
Should,
yes. Okay.
But yeah, but they're kind of. They're. I feel like this is almost a paid list. They're. This is just
YouTube Kids
emphasizing kind of the junk. That is. All over the App Store, as every App Store is full of junk. I don't know if it's best album. Top selling, I understand, right?
Yeah.
That's top selling makes sense. Yeah,
these are the best sellers. And, of course, Adele is number one.
Most installed.
Top selling movies. But it's not most installed. It's just best apps and best games. I don't know what that top selling albums. Top selling. Adele's 25 top selling album. Top selling movie. Interstellar, followed by Lucy, American Sniper, The Interview. 50 Shades of Grey. All four versions.
Oh, God help us all.
Top-selling books. Because you don't
have you
want...
Seen, have you seen Spotlight,
Because you don't
guys?
Want people to see you reading that.
Exactly. You can read this on your Android device and no one will know. 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Darker, 50 Shades of Freed. That's kind of a spoiler
title.
It's like
200 shades of
There's
stuff.
Thousands of shades here. Our favorites on newsstands.
That's an ad.
That's got to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, our favorites.
Yeah. Our favorites. The ones that gave us the most money.
Why do they do this?
Our favorite albums. Appropriately titled the number one favorite album, To Pimp a Butterfly. Our favorite movies on TV. Dope. I never even heard of that.
I want to see that.
It's good?
I don't know. I've heard good things.
I hear it's dope.
Fargo's fun. I'm enjoying
it. Dope is really good. I enjoyed it. It's funny.
Okay,
it's
but Jeff, did you watch last Monday night's Fargo?
No.
I saw it.
Okay, just let me know after you see it. I don't know spoilers.
Okay.
But
suffice it to say, it was surprising.
Yeah.
It was a surprising moment.
It was a surprising. Okay. It was like, what the? I knew this was coming, by the way.
Right.
Because they had telegraphed this all along, but.
Yeah. It was
like, why?
It was almost, in fact, now that you mention it, this entire show is somewhat, sort of, kind of like Twin Peaks.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Very Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's an amazing show. Yeah. And the first season was fantastic. Great performances.
Especially if you love horrific violence, as I do.
It's incredibly violent. Just people get shot for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, right. I don't like how you're looking at it. Boom.
Yeah.
Since we're in this week in entertainment, have you guys seen Spotlight?
No.
Movie?
No.
I'm run. Go see it.
See, everybody says that.
It's amazing.
Everybody says that.
I mean, I'm a journalist, so
I'm nervous because, you know, Lisa and I are looking at what to go see.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this. And Spotlight, 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. Everybody says go see it.
Yeah.
It's about priests and the Boston Globe's investigation of priests.
It's all about the investigation.
And molesting children. Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't, that uplifting Christmas entertainment, I don't think so.
Yeah.
We couldn't bring ourselves to see it.
Yeah, I had the exact same thought. Do I really want to, you know, it's at the end of the day.
And I hear it's great.
Yeah.
There's no moment. There's no moments of priests and little boys. They're
it's like wood. It's like it's like all the president's men, right?
It's like exactly. Yeah.
It's a journalist going after a cover up, and yeah. and it, the depiction of journalism is supposed to be amazing.
Yeah.
Very realistic.
Give me gratuitous bloody violence in
it. Anytime. It's yeah. like and be done.
What I did watch, have you all seen the very Murray Christmas, Bill Murray Christmas special directed by Sofia Coppola?
No.
No.
But will you get kicked off the air if you play Miley Cyrus's?
She was very good.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah. It's just weird. It's very weird. But the interesting thing, here's how we're going to make it appropriate to the show instead of just a television review.
I was waiting for this, yeah.
it's a Netflix original. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to me that Netflix basically is saying, well, we're going to do what television has done for years. We're going to do a Christmas special, but it's not going to be Perry Como.
Right.
It's a hipster, oddball thing.
Right.
But it's still an hour-long Christmas special. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a TV show.
The fireplace and all the rest.
Yeah.
Oh, Amy Poehler? I'll watch anything with Poehler.
She's got a small role. Everybody's got a small role.
It's Bill Murray making, maybe he's mocking, they're mocking the form.
Yeah.
And they can do that.
And it's kind of a little like, Sofia Coppola is reunited with Murray to make this. And it's kind of like Lost in Translation Part 2. Yeah. Sophia's husband has a French rock band that's very strange, and Buster Poindexter is in it. Yeah. David Johannes, what is his name? Johannes? David
Johansson.
New York Johansson. That's of New York Dolls fame. He's seen some things in life. His life. He's kind of, it's very weird, but it just shows Netflix ambition.
Yeah,
right. I mean, and you know what? They need to, because look at Amazon's ambition in this realm.
Have you talked on this show about the most recent episode of The Good Wife, which is really about Google and algorithms and who's to blame when algorithms are racist, when they're based on
user data?
Oh, no.
This is not the autonomous vehicle one. This is the one after that.
So basically what happens is that there's a restaurateur who has a restaurant in a predominantly black neighborhood in Chicago who suddenly her business dies, she claims, because it was this chum hum site, which is Google.
He's been around the chum hum guy.
Exactly.
It's kind of Facebook meets Google.
Right. They add a new feature that says, well, here are the, for driving directions, here are the areas you should avoid. And they said that her entire neighborhood should be avoided when you're driving around.
Whoa.
And therefore she lost all the, traffic for people who were going to a restaurant. And then they went into the really lengthy, very savvy, very intelligent courtroom conversations
they do that
about
really well.
What's racist? Are algorithms racist? No, they're based on user feedback. Well, who are your users? Your users are 95.
A bunch of white people.
Exactly. So it was really, really good. Really good episode.
That's very interesting.
It was on the 29th.
Even Google knows that is not, that's the third rail there. They're not touching that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it makes for a good TV show. Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to watch that. We're so far behind. We have 2 years to go before we can get there.
Put the Miley Cyrus, if you care, the Miley Cyrus song is in it.
I'll save it for the end of the show.
Okay, we'll save it. We're behind.
I just want to, there's a few extra stories I want to run through here. Gina, gosh, you're only here once a month. Please bring up anything that you want to talk about.
I will.
It's your show. How about the new emoji? You like those in 6.01?
You know what I like? I want to stop getting the stupid box with the cross.
Right, because everybody else has those emojis.
Ugh, it's so frustrating. I mean, I don't know if I just like hang out with a lot of iOS folks or what, but I feel like half the emoji I see
are those
the box. So I just want to see those go away.
We all have to live with those damn iOS folks.
It's like the green bubble thing.
Yeah.
Ugh, it makes me crazy.
So there's new food options like pizza and burritos, Chipotle. There's a burrito.
Jenny Ate Lee, Taco. Who used to be the New York Times, who's now at Hack Hackers.
Yeah.
She has a campaign to get the dumpling. and it's hilarious because she actually went to, she's now on an advisory board for the emoji board. She went to the meeting of the emoji board. It's a bunch of boring, old white bureaucrats. It's hilarious.
I like the scary clown emoji. Wait a minute. Holy cow,
there's,
I never saw that
sushi,
one.
Sushi, though. Like, there's a variety.
There's always been sushi. They had sushi because it was Japanese originally. The problem was they didn't have
America totally food. Passe in Japan now.
They're
right?
Passe with everybody because stickers are the thing now.
Stickers are the new hotness.
Stickers are the new hotness.
Now, of course, the emoji culture comes from Japan, and I saw an article go by that says in Japan they're done with emoji. That's right. Like it's completely fallen out.
Nobody cares about those. Yeah. Pooh's honey jar. Is that new? It must be. I don't remember that before. And then there's the middle finger. And there's now. How does Google handle the different color? No, I guess I don't have the choices of different.
Yeah, that's not part of it yet.
Oh, you have different skin tones.
Everybody's yellow. It's like
I like that. Yeah. Where's the hands? Where's the fingers? I want to show stuff I can't show on TV. Just because I can. Are there any new sports in here? What is that? Does anyone know what that is? What the hell is that? That looks Japanese. Mahjong has always been there. Yeah, so there's a few new ones. But this is the Unicode set. This is just finally adding to the operating system what has been in the Unicode set for some time.
I just put up a picture in the chat of Jenny at the taking a picture of the meeting, of the actual emoji meeting.
She's so great.
What is this? So there's the International Emoji Committee? What is this?
Yeah, there's a whole...
They hold their entire meetings with emojis. They act them out.
I love it. So she went demanding dumplings. That's great.
So look at the t-shirt.
This is why there's a problem. Standard emoji.
Shadowy emoji overlord.
Shadowy. Oh, now we know.
There's some humor about it.
Now we know who this shadowy emoji overlord is. There is the middle finger. Right above. There's the middle finger.
My greatest hope and wish for emoji is that everyone implements Slack's emoji reactions.
Exactly.
So that it's not just star or heart. You know, you get to react.
No, but that's why stickers are great. Yeah. I have in Telegram a whole set of Donald Trump stickers that correspond to standard emojis. So I can put a little Donald in everything I send.
Call me old-fashioned, but I think people should just write words and just forget about emojis.
This is the new nonverbal speaking.
And by the way, I just learned yesterday, I think, that according to science, Leo, if you use a period in texting, people think you're a jerk.
Yep.
So I've stopped doing it. For the last 24 hours, I've not
used... Who are these people? Because I think you're a jerk if you don't.
I just figured that a period goes to the end of a sentence. I just am brought up that way.
My kids told me that.
You're a jerk if you do two spaces after the period.
No, that is jerky.
Yeah, that is a jerk.
That means you use typewriter.
If you indent the first line of a paragraph, that's jerky.
Yeah. What kind of jerk would do that?
My kids, though, told me 10 years ago, I would put punctuation in upper and lower case and stuff in my text messages to them. They said, they mocked me. What are you doing?
It's called writing.
Yeah. And you'll know you're very old when you put it all caps.
Oh,
my father does.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, not text. He doesn't text, but an email. It's all caps.
Wow.
He's always shouting.
Hit that caps lock key.
Yeah.
Streaming.
I think emoji brings emotion to the conversation.
I agree.
I'm pro emoji.
It's what's missing from text. It's very hard, unless you're a great writer like Mike and Jeff, and then you could put nuance into text.
The only emotion I get is confusion. Like, what are they trying to tell me? Like, it's a code. I'm like, what? Do I have to look it up? Like,
well, what is the new Oxford English Dictionary word of the year? Is this
a publicity stunt?
What is it? It's not a shrug. No, it's
the hands?
Isn't it the crying?
It's the crying.
Happy tears. Yeah, it's the.
No, it's not tears coming out. There's
tears of joy or something.
No,
like
it's
that.
This. No? It's hands with things coming shooting out of your head. Here, I'll find it for you.
That's the word of the year?
Yeah.
I just love when...
Well, they don't put it in the dictionary. They don't actually have...
Yeah.
So here it is. Oxford's
Tears of Joy.
Tears of Joy is the technical name for it. No, that's not it. Is that it? Oh, that is it. I thought it was the other one.
Oh, that one, right.
Yeah, everybody knows what that is, Tears of Joy.
But how dumb is that? It's a publicity stunt. They want the press that they, in fact,
I think
got.
This is it, though.
It's not a word.
It's not a word. They can't put it in the dictionary. Oxford. I thought it was the one with the hands. Maybe I'm wrong.
So I'm reading a book now about watch out. It's drinking game time. I haven't done this in a long time, folks. Gutenberg.
Damn, I didn't have their whiskey ready.
Imagine communities. And the argument about how long it took printing to take over was because Latin was the primary language of printing until printing started to go into the vernacular. And Latin had been the language of the bilinguals. So to get a big enough market for printing, you had to put it in Latin. So then when the market spread and people started reading, then you could put the books in the vernacular, and that's what spread it. And in a way, it strikes me that emoji becomes a new kind of bilingual language. Right? Sorry, that was a weird...
No, but it is. I think you're right. It's more expressive. That's, I think, what Gina was saying,
too. It's the lingua franca.
Yeah.
It is, but there's definitely times when people use certain emoji, like within certain communities, and it means a thing, and yes. And there are definitely times where I'm like, I just don't know what this means.
But you could say the same thing for acronyms. There are acronyms that I look at and I know, for a long time I didn't know what YOLO was, and everybody was using it, but I wasn't in that kind of crowd.
But you know, it's preferable though to everybody going to a post-literate symbol system is if we all just had the translation services that Google has, that Facebook has, on by default. Like right now on Google Plus, you can just hit the translate button, and no matter what the language is, for the most part, Arabic, whatever, it just translates it in English. I'd love to have the default be just translate everything, make everything in English, and then for the people who speak or prefer another language besides English, they would see it in their language. That would be a great way. Why don't we use the amazing, amazing translation services that now exist? It's like we've solved this problem that's vexed mankind since the beginning of time, and people are like, whatever.
Yep.
Have you ever wondered what it was that convinced Google to buy YouTube? Susan Wojcicki. Say her name.
Wojcicki.
But there's an extra C in there we're ignoring.
Yeah, but you have
just
to
decided to ignore it?
Yeah.
Okay. Susan Wojcicki's favorite video. This was the video. She was overseeing Google Video in 2006 in charge of acquisitions. They were considering YouTube, which was tiny, an unprofitable startup, ready to be sued by everybody and their brothers. NBC was just bearing down. Universal was bearing down on them. And she stumbled upon this video of two boys lip-syncing the Backstreet Boys. And this was at Fortune's Most Powerful Women Next Gen Summit. And this was the video, she says, that made me realize that, wow, people all over the world can create content. They don't need to be in a studio. A light bulb went off in her head 6 months later. She led Google through the $1.65 billion acquisition, which I think we can all agree was a great acquisition. Yep. And this is, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, this is going to be good.
two Chinese boys in Adidas tracksuits. Behind them, by the way, a guy playing video games.
What?
I think it's Counter-Strike.
What amazing bragging rights for these guys, though, right? I was the reason that Google bought YouTube.
It's actually pretty funny. You know what? Susan really did hit it right there. That's the, in a nutshell, the essence today still of YouTube.
I hope these guys got some, Google sweatshirts or stock or something.
I love the guy playing Counter-Strike behind him.
Yeah.
You know, like totally could not
totally
care
oblivious.
Less.
That doesn't care.
It's so great.
But what's really funny is that people doing this sort of thing are now making millions of dollars a year on YouTube.
Wow, these two are really, really going for it with this Backstreet Boys song.
What's interesting is that they, in 2006, these are the guys you should hire, Google. Because they saw in 2006 what would become a massive industry.
Yes.
Surely no one else was doing this kind of lip-syncing thing or anything. Where did they get this idea? And why post it to something called YouTube?
These guys are hilarious.
I wish you could see this, folks. It's... They're really.
I thought that this was going to be like two like little like toddlers. Yeah. These are.
No, they're college kids. I did say this looks like a dorm room or something.
Yeah.
I like the matching tracksuits.
What year was this?
2006.
Six. Well.
Almost 10 years ago. Okay, you can't see this at home, but believe me, it's.
If you search for Nitro X Unit, all one.
How'd you find that? They're still around. Nitro X Unit. That's their channel.
Maybe that search doesn't work. I'm getting some. Yeah, don't search for that. A lot of people have hijacked it.
Oh, of course they have.
I don't.
Wow. 3 minutes and 38 seconds of Backstreet Boys and
is their
1.6.
Name in there?
No, because nobody. Just BSB is the only thing.
Yeah, and that doesn't bring you anything.
And if I click this, it's going to bring it to YouTube. So Nitro X Unit is the channel. See, it was uploaded April 11th, 2006. And then, of course, the comments. And they are quite a few of them.
Not awful.
Go to my Twitter feed, Mike Elgin on Twitter, and the link is there.
So see, this man, he knows what he's doing. By the way, 764,000 views on this video.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And half of them Google shareholders going, what?
I am glad to see that Google has added, in kind of response to Apple, a family version, family price, $14.99 for all Google All Access Music, up to six people, right? Just like the Apple thing. And you get YouTube Red. That, to me, makes Google Play Music the music choice, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So everybody in the family gets ad-free YouTube, gets the music stuff, plus, of course, and you saw on five devices, because I can't put it on my Pixel, because I always have more than five Google devices.
And what they're doing is they're setting themselves up for a situation where YouTube Red becomes a television channel, essentially.
But they missed a bet. They could have had that very Merry Christmas on there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's
well, yeah, when will Google, this is the debate we always get in. If Google were a real content company, it would have commissioned
something like that. They need to get serious and start doing that, right?
Yeah. Well, or no, then you'll just scream louder that they're in channel conflict.
Well, I didn't say I would be happy about it, but that's what they this year on Twitter, the traditional post every year from Twitter, the big hashtags. Is Google Zeitgeist up yet for 2015?
They changed the name of it.
It's not Zeitgeist anymore because that's their conference.
Right. So it's
hashtag, of course, Paris attacks, Black Lives Matter, marriage equality. There's a lot of recent stuff in here. There's the only thing about, and we have the same problem with our year enders. Mm-hmm. You tend to do the stuff that's recent instead of.
Yeah, because you remember it.
Yeah, you remember it. So, by the way, twit.tv/best of, if you remember something from earlier this year, we'd love to get your input.
Yes, please.
For our best of. Poor Jason has to put this all together. So, Paris attacks, of course, Black Lives Matter, of course. That was huge. Tweeted 9 million times in 2015. Marriage equality, of course, huge. They don't say how many times that was tweeted. Refugees welcome. Trump. That's brand new.
What was Love Wins and marriage equality?
Yeah. 370,000 tweets for I Stand With Ahmed, the kid in Irving, Texas. National elections. FIFA, the World Cup, Women's World Cup. Pluto flyby, that's good. They should tell you, though, how many tweets on all of these, and they don't. The dress.
Yeah. wasn't this year. It was in
February.
It feels like it lasted 5 years.
4.4 million tweets.
Wow, seems like ancient history. Yeah.
And then Caitlyn Jenner joining Twitter. They don't mention the POTUS joining Twitter, but that was another big event, wasn't it?
Looks like YouTube just posted their YouTube Rewind.
Oh, yeah. Should we watch that
as well?
All right. Tell you what. Let's watch the YouTube Rewind, which is their, you know, compilation of a bunch of stuff from. Is it under trending? Yeah, of course it is. Of YouTube stars and videos and memories from 2015. And then we'll I'll save it. You know what? We'll run it as the end of the show. How about
that? Yeah.
And one other thing about Twitter that I think is worth mentioning that's fairly recent is that Jeff Bezos started tweeting.
Yeah.
His first
third
one,
tweet.
Right. He's done four now. And the last one was he said, finally trashed by the real Donald Trump. We'll still reserve him on a seat on the Blue Origin rocket. And somebody pointed out that 25% of all his tweets are about Donald Trump.
The hashtag send Donald to space. Next year, let's have that be on the top list. How about that?
By the way, Hillary, note that she responded to Trump yesterday on Medium, which I find fascinating. Huh.
Oh, my God. The Medium juggernaut marches on.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's become the place. Twitter's the place for the offhand response.
Yeah.
Medium's become the place for the thoughtful, full-length response. I guess Ev Williams, who started both, probably is thinking, we need a long form and a short form.
Yeah, yeah. And my brilliant ex-agent, Kate Lee, is in charge of getting famous people to write there, and she does a great job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she has a she has like a medium account. Like she's like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, she's got a team, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Son Jake is working for Hillary.
In New Hampshire.
Yes.
Oh, that's wow. That's good for him.
Yeah. Good for him.
That's great. It's, you know what, that's I think the do you think that the candidate who does the best job with social media will be the
well one I was that thinking wins? About this. So you have Joe Trippi, you know, Howard Dean's campaign manager, who wrote a book famously saying the revolution will not be televised, and the complaint was, you know, it's all commercials and huge amounts of money and blah 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 blah. The paradox here is that this incredibly rich guy, Trump, comes along and he's not spending any money.
Yeah.
He's made a campaign. He's done it off television. Yes, he's done it with social media, but he's the evil one. Media is giving him all this free stuff.
Wait a minute.
All right.
I don't think it's agreed that he's the evil one.
No.
He is a candidate. Some people are like him less than others.
Let everyone note that Leo was trying to defend from horrible political tweets and such that will follow.
But I don't think he's a priori the evil one.
Wait a minute.
There's other people in the running.
His most controversial thing is he said when American citizens who are also Muslims go on vacation, they shouldn't be allowed back in the country. That is evil. You can't deny access to the United States by law.
Poor Leo is
trying
to avoid this. This is like,
no, I'm not.
Like
I don't mind.
Dinner.
I don't mind. I mean,
that was
please, Uncle Joe. Don't talk about.
And by the way, that's what Hillary Clinton's piece in Medium was. It says, "No, Donald Trump, we're not barring Muslims from entering the country." But the point is absolutely true that Donald Trump has shaped the discourse by adept use of not just new media, but mostly mainstream media, and somewhat of social media. He's very adept at Twitter
and of language itself. I mean, his style of speaking is very. Soundbite friendly.
Well, and it's interesting because of all the candidates, if you look at what is the analysis they do for grade level of their writing and their speech?
Is it Flash Kincaid or?
That's it. According to Politico, Donald Trump's speech is third grade level. It's by far the lowest.
Yep.
But of course, if you're intelligent and you know that you want to reach the electorate, I would think that's probably a good way to do it. Yeah, this is the Flesh Kincaid grade level test. And for the record, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Scott Walker, 8th grade level. John Kasich, the next lowest after Trump, 5th grade. But Ted Cruz is 9th grade. I see if they have Hillary Clinton in here and some of the other candidates. It looks like it's all the Republicans. But, hey, you know, you want to reach the largest audience.
Well, but it's also I think the grade level is a byproduct of the fact that he speaks in absolute superlatives.
Yeah,
everything is either the best or the
worst.
That's
what they say. Short, blocky words.
Yeah,
and he links short, blocky words into other short, blocky words to create short, blocky sentences, which he stacks into short, blocky paragraphs. And by the way, there's a rhythm and a music to Donald Trump's speech. It's actually hard not to watch his speeches because there's a very musical rhythm to it. There are others who are adept at that, like, I don't know, some fascists I could name.
Yeah, the other thing that's interesting about just as a word nerd and a language geek is he does something that's common in rap, like Eminem does this a lot, where he'll say something outrageous, but before you can even process it, he's on
moves
the next
on.
Outrageous thing.
Very smart.
He always says, by the way...
Right.
After he says something that's like, wait a minute, what did you just... And you can't react to the first thing because you're already trying to process the second thing. And
listen to this. This is him... This speaks for itself. But he does exactly that technique in this little soundbite from... this was actually in the same speech that he said Muslims should be banned from entering the United States.
Is this the internet one?
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to hear. But...
A lot of people because of the internet. And we have to...
He says...
Losing a lot of people because of the internet, and we have to do something.
I love this.
I'm sorry. I just want to get this so that you can hear it. It's not very loud.
Yeah.
This is somebody on Twitter. The only record apparently that exists of this MSNBC stream is somebody who held their camera kind of at an angle.
Losing a lot of people because of the internet, and we have to do something. We have to go see Bill Gates and a lot of different people that really understand what's happening.
Wait a minute. We have to see Bill Gates and a lot of other people that understand what's okay.
To talk to them, maybe in certain areas, closing that internet up in some way. Somebody would say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech.
By the way, now, boom, just as you say, very adeptly. Somebody should say freedom of speech, and then immediately,
right?
Foolish people. We have a lot of foolish people. We have a lot of foolish people.
Fair. I mean,
repetition.
Yeah, repetition. But I don't think he's calculated. I frankly think this is how he talks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think this is some sort of, he's like some evil genius plotting this stuff. This is just how he talks.
Yeah. You got to close that internet up somehow.
Got to close it up. And it doesn't matter if you can't call Bill Gates to close the internet.
as there were great tweets that said, "Oh, Bill Gates tried." That was Internet Explorer 3.0. You know, there were a lot of good jokes about that.
But anyway, I don't know what they're. I didn't want to go down this road, but
yeah, sorry, that's my fault.
It's okay.
Actually, with AMP, couldn't Google close up parts of the internet? don't open that one again.
There you go. There you go. By the way, Mark Zuckerberg did respond
the complaints about his.
No, this is. Yeah, he did respond to that. That's last. That's old news. We're talking Muslims here.
This is a really nice little post.
This is about an hour ago on Facebook. I want to add my voice in support of Muslims in our community and around the world after the Paris attacks and hate this week. I can only imagine the fear Muslims feel that they'll be persecuted for the actions of others. There's a very touching article. I think I can't remember where I saw it about Muslim school kids and the questions they now have to face every day in school. Did you plot 9/11? Are you part of Al-Qaeda? Are you in ISIS? As a Jew, my parents taught me we must stand up against attacks on all communities, even if an attack isn't against you today. In time, attacks on freedom for anyone will hurt everyone. If you're a Muslim in this community, as the leader of Facebook, I want you to know you are always welcome here, and we will fight to protect your rights and create a peaceful and safe environment for you. Having a child, he's been spending a lot of time with Max. Yeah.
Great picture of him with Max.
I saw that. Wasn't that great?
Oh, God, it was melting.
Having a child has given us so much hope, but the hate of some can make it easy to succumb to cynicism. We must not lose hope. As long as we stand together and see the good in each other, we can build a better place, a better world for all people.
As someone said, I don't know who it was, I saw this, he's talking like a statesman.
Yeah.
He's
that scares
really
me a little bit, but he has a seat at the table. He is invited as our other executives. But I think at this
point, there was also a story in the New York Times today about how social media is used by ISIS and such, and how Twitter can't stay ahead of it today or yesterday. And by the way, not just Donald Trump is saying shut the internet. We've got all of them are trying to attack. Not just social media, but also encryption. It's a very scary moment for how the internet ought to work versus how some will use this to fight the proper internet.
Today, our beloved senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, reintroduced a proposed bill that would require tech companies, including Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, to alert federal law enforcement about online terrorist activity. This is of course, bipartisan bill. Democrat Feinstein and Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina insist the bill doesn't mandate the companies monitor customers or take any additional action, only that they report potential terrorist activity.
And doesn't that exist? Isn't that law already, in essence? If you are a witness to a crime...
Well, they say it's modeled after an existing law requiring them to report online child pornography. And people have pointed out that, they are doing that. Yeah. That does happen.
Yeah.
And quite effectively. I'm a little nervous, though, about putting the tech companies in charge of spying on their users. Well, I feel like that is a risky road.
It certainly is. Let's face it. I think that if I had to bet my own money on who's going to win the presidency, it's probably going to be Hillary Clinton. But apologies to Jake. Here's Hillary Clinton's statement. She said, you're going to hear all the usual complaints, freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of like
what
Trump
said. Stupid, foolish people.
But if we're truly in a war against terrorism, we're truly looking for ways to shut off their funding, shut off the flow of foreign fighters, then we've got to shut off their means of communicating.
No.
It's more complicated with some of what they do on encrypted apps, and I'm well aware of that. And that requires even more thinking about how to do it. So she's a little more open-minded about it, but still.
But still, it's scary language.
But I think what what all the candidates are tapping into is the popular notion that why are terrorists being allowed to use international means of communication to plot terror attacks. I think this is a huge question for a lot of people. And all this nuance about encryption and like all that kind of stuff is just lost on the public.
It's it's so tempting when horrible things happen to look for kind of superficial solutions to it. And we all want to take action immediately. And of course, that's when you make the biggest mistakes, is when you just leap into action and say, "Well, let's fix this. Let's fix this."
Or this is the problem, and if we just fix that, the problem will go away.
Yeah. And I think it's a much deeper problem, frankly, terrorism. And I think if you're going to address it, you have to address it at its roots.
Gina?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So part of the Times article argued that Twitter is missing some simple stuff, that it goes from, ISIS terrorist account 1 to ISIS terrorist account 10 to ISIS terrorist account 15. And, geez, they just figured that out. Or there's certain photos. Since you know how to analyze Twitter, how hard do you think it would be? Because the argument is, they can't keep up. They can't keep up. First, how hard is it to find it? And second, because accounts are killed, indeed, if I'm going to look for this stuff, how come it's so easy to find it? Doesn't it take it a while to kind of propagate socially?
What do you mean, for anyone to find?
Yeah, if I want to go in. And today I decide I want to join ISIS because I had a bad day at the office. Right. If accounts are being killed, how do I go to Twitter and suddenly find the latest of 8,700 ISIS accounts?
Well, that's one thing I think the Times kind of missed.
Yeah.
ISIS can create a new account, but it doesn't have any followers.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. It has to propagate socially.
Well, but we also don't know to what extent people are being contacted privately on Twitter.
Right.
And it's invisible. You can't search for it. But there's a lot of one-to-one in the recruitment effort. They are monitoring Twitter for people under certain conditions that feel alienated in certain ways, that are certain ages in certain countries, and then they're contacting them. And if people are already Muslim, for example, they can relate to them as a Muslim and start talking to them and sort of lead them down this path. And you can't find that by searching if it's private.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Twitter and these kind of big social networks have created these elaborate systems for detecting spam, for detecting child pornography, for now getting better, helping people combat, cases of abuse and trolling. I mean, I think a lot of the same principles would come into play. I mean, I think that people have to police each other, or not police each other, but call out, keep an eye on each other, versus putting the toll burden on the company itself. Give the community the tools it needs to help itself, and to say, this seems a little bit off. What can we do about this? The way that you would if you met a young person in real life and you thought, I'm a little bit worried about this kid. Seems a little lost. Seems a little distant. Seems like maybe some things aren't going so well. I know it doesn't easily translate into a social network online, and I'm not saying that it's easy, but there is some precedent for this. I think that we can, it's about empowering the community to help themselves. And I think, it is in some way about, watching for patterns and, evolving, spam constantly evolves too. Right. But like, we've pretty much licked that problem.
Why isn't Twitter doing a better job though of finding and suppressing these accounts? I mean, the Times point was, well, they're just incrementing by one. Surely Twitter could observe and figure this out.
They've always tried to hit on the
stand. Is it that Twitter doesn't want to get in this business?
I think they're more afraid of erring on the side of censoring content that shouldn't be censored. I mean, you can imagine it's a fine line. Oftentimes people post things and they're actually being sarcastic or they're mocking or they're something. And it can be taken by people as being in favor of the thing they're mocking or being cynical about. And so it's language can be subtle, and sometimes it's difficult to tell whether somebody's just exercising their right to free speech or whether they're recruiting terrorists, or whatever. I mean, it seems like an easy thing to do until you try to do it, and then the devil's in the details.
Right.
In this case, literally.
Or Krampus.
Yes.
Krampus.
Krampus is in the details. That's what I hear anyway.
Yes.
Let's take a break. I'm so depressed.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about AMP again then.
No, that'll cheer me up. Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks. I love FreshBooks, and they get better and better and better. I love what they're doing. We've talked about them before. I first started using them more than 10 years ago when I was going to Canada 1 week a month and had to invoice them for my time and my travel and my expenses, and it was just a pain. It was such a pain. I mean, they wanted it in Canadian dollars. That was like, okay, I got to figure this out. I got to fire up Word. I got to fire up Excel. I'd put it off for months. And, of course, if you're a freelancer and you don't bill, you don't get paid. So that wasn't a good idea. Amber MacArthur told me about FreshBooks. Nice Toronto company. They just started up in 2004. They helped me do these invoices, and they're getting better and better for freelancers, for small businesses that need to do invoicing but do a lot more. This is a simple, super simple cloud accounting site and program, program as a service that's giving thousands of freelancers like you the tools to save time billing, get paid faster, create and send invoices in minutes, watch expenses organized. You're going to have to start using this, Mike. I just realized.
I've been using it.
Have you?
For the columns that I
currently have. Oh, yeah, because you freelance with the Computer World. And
yeah.
What magazines do you write
for? So it's Computer World, Baseline, CIO Insight. Yeah, it's a bunch of others. And, of course, on Computer World, I'm actually syndicated with an IDG, so that's PC World and all the rest.
And then pretty soon you're going to be able to bill them for travel expenses.
Exactly. Well, one of the great things about FreshBooks that I really like is, you know, one time they automatically send this perfectly formatted invoice.
Right.
And you can say, oh, just send it by email. And boom, off it goes. And
there's a pay me button, which is awesome.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. But I like the really simple things. One of them was I sent it to a different editor one time, and they said, you know, actually, I'm sorry to ask you this. Could you please send a PDF? I just prefer PDFs. So I went back to FreshBooks, clicked the PDF button,
and they
got a perfect PDF. Yeah. I mean, it's like I didn't need PDF software. I didn't need to mess around with it. It just happened.
So easy. And then, of course, if you have expenses, you can use the FreshBooks app to take pictures of the receipts, get them right into the invoices. By the way, time and hours, if you bill by hours, the app will do that for you. And again, put it right in into the invoice. They've got some new features, which I really like. There's something called deposit. You can get paid up front. So if you cover costs out of pocket, you know, or you've got ongoing expenses, you can request a deposit in FreshBooks. Your client can put money in there for you, which is automatically dispersed. That makes it so much easier. You don't have to wait to the end of the project to get paid. They have now a card reader. Maybe you saw this in the news. So you're a freelancer. You can even accept credit cards wherever business takes you, right from your iPhone, less than a minute. The FreshBooks card reader is a EMV chip card enabled, which is what everybody wants to use now. It works right out of the box. You just open your this is so cool. You open your invoice from the FreshBooks app. You plug in the reader. You dip the chip or swipe the Stripe. Boom. They paid you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you're a contractor, if you're in business for yourself and you go out and you do work and you want to get paid right away, I expect to see this a lot now. You know, I just think this is so great. Yeah, but of course, if you have questions, help is forever free. You can always count on their support rock stars for the best support because they're nice people, actually. They're really great people. I want you to try it free for 30 days. You're gonna see an amazing amount of stuff you can do. FreshBooks.com/twig. Don't forget to enter This Week in Google when they say, how'd you hear about us? In that form there. Start your 30-day free trial today. And we thank FreshBooks so much for making my life a lot easier for so long, and Mike's too, and for supporting our shows. FreshBooks.com/twig, TWIG. I'm just feeling good about this Chromebook Pixel. I've got it all set up now and installed all my apps.
I still want you to type
something
with a couple returns. See how it feels.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It really is made it your own now.
Oh yeah, nice. See, that's the first thing. I install so many new apps, Android devices, that I use Nova Launcher and I save out my layout. And of course, this is a tablet, so it's a little bit different, but. I know how I want it, so I'm able to get the widgets I want and everything just ready to go. I'll do some typing in a second. One of the complaints is that there aren't tablet-specific apps. This is Google's Play News app, and I think that they've done it. You know, Google at least has kind of made something that works pretty well. Let's see what. In fact, this looks great. This is we've talked about that before. Let's see how about the New York Times. If I go into the New York Times. How's that going to? Yeah, so there's a lot of white space in the column on the right there. I guess they have to leave room for Zulily.
That was the ad hadn't loaded.
Yeah, that's all. Well, that's, you know, the front page was nice, though. I think the Times does a nice job of that. So they're a little bit tablet savvy, right? They use the layout.
The Time Review says it has volume buttons, Leo, and they're easy to reach.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Okay. How could you not have a volume button? That bothered me.
No, yes. Thank you, Time, for telling me how to use this. Let's see how a Flipboard works. Yeah, I feel like so. This you said Gina that this is the layout stuff that's built into. I should sign into my here. Hide my screen for just a second, Jason, if you would. Thanks. I'm gonna log in to. I like the keyboard. I really like having a keyboard with, with a tablet. I've found that with the iPad. It's better than having to use that on-screen keyboard.
Yeah. I have adored my Nexus 7, and I still do.
Yeah, Flipboard looks pretty good. Yeah, this is a good, I think this is a good replace. It's a lot bigger than the Nexus 7.
A lot bigger. It doesn't fit in the pocket anymore, but as a way to watch movies on the plane and stuff, it does look, ooh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
looks really nice. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Android, you know, has all the support there. There's this concept of fragments where they're basically modules, and you can define. You could be like, once you surpass this threshold of a screen size, then use this layout, and you can define those layouts, and just they're just you know, in XML files. It's really not that difficult, but you know, I think that developers also, you know, focus on who's using their stuff, right? If they're not seeing, if a developer's not seeing a whole lot of tablet use. Mostly phone use. They're right. Gonna see the Instagram login. Look at that. Look at how stretched that is.
Yeah.
So now that works, right? But it looks a little wonky. Like you look at that and you go, that doesn't look like it's gonna work really well on the tablet.
Even Google Now, which is, I mean, it should be a three column layout. I mean, there's plenty.
Yeah,
of
that
space
that could
here.
Be that could be three yeah. column. I mean, you're also your device could be kind of right on the edge of. The kind of standard for defining
yeah,
you know, what
probably
should
flips.
Column.
This is, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I presume, yeah. this is
that's a nice grid.
Yeah, this is Google Plus. One would expect this to be.
And that
optimized.
Is three column.
Yeah,
that's three column, right?
But Plus has always done that, right? It's been responsive. This will be a nice Google
look,
Plus
that,
device.
That one spans the two. Yeah, that's nice.
And there, of course, Pixel C communities.
Oh, yeah, immediately. Starting up, right? Yep. Somebody said Slack. There are a few apps that don't know that you're in portrait mode and you have or landscape mode and you have to flip it around. That's not good because on this device, that's you can't. You know,
oh, really? Slack? Oh.
Well,
fantastic.
I think they said Slack, but I'll have to. I think, you know, people should adjust to this. Although it's not the first time tablets have been here, is it?
No, I don't know. Slack goes landscape on a 6.
Gina, do you have a tip for us?
Yeah, you know, my tip this week is kind of the big, the biggest new feature addition that Google's had really this week is, which is reminders in Google Calendar.
Huh.
So I make a to-do list app. It's pretty lo-fi, but I've always been sort of fascinated by how Google has really danced around to-dos. Like they never really had their own task app for a while. They had tasks inside of Gmail, and then they had Keep, which has check boxes and reminders, but isn't really a to-do app. Well, they just added reminders, which are basically to-dos, to Google Calendar, which means that you can say, you know, hey, I gotta, you know, call the florist, and it'll add this reminder to your agenda, to your day. And if you don't get it done, it'll automatically roll that reminder over to your next day, and you can swipe left to mark it as complete. And these reminders are actually the same reminders that you set up in Google Keep, and they're the same reminders that you can set up in Google Inbox. So these are across all of your kind of your Google apps. It's got that little hand with the finger with the string tied around it. So they're calling them reminders. They're basically, though, it's a task list. I mean, it's a to-do list. And it's got all that kind of nice Google goodness where it knows, you know, if you're saying you need to call somebody, it'll look it up in your contacts. It'll kind of autofill the phrases. It's pretty smart. So yeah, that's reminders. And that's in the new Google Calendar app, or the latest version of the Google Calendar app on Android. I believe it's Android only right now. So there it is. To-dos on your calendar.
To-dos on your calendar.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Mr. Mike Elgin, you got a tip for us, or a trick, or a toy, or a tool?
I have a tip. I have a couple of tips. I have three tips. And we all know that Google Plus was recently redesigned. The redesign was a mixed bag in general.
Yeah.
They favor brand new users and kind of did it in a way that isn't great for a long time, hardcore diehard users. So a lot of the hardcore users are complaining about the redesign. There are three things that really bug me about the redesign, and I have workarounds for them. So the first thing is that Google used to have by far the best search on any social network. Not surprising, it's Google. They still have vastly better search than Facebook. However, I would rank Twitter now as having much better search than Google Plus after the redesign, because they now don't let you sort by time. You can't reshuffle it so that the most recent post is at the top, which makes it useless for certain types of searches. And so they'll show it, you know, the ranking based on relevance, and that's the only option. It's a terrible thing. I think they need to fix that and go back to the way it was. But the workaround is that you can do the search, and again, this is a kludge, on Google Search.
Oh.
So go to Google Search, use site :+.google.com. And then put your search before or after that, and you can search for anything. And you can, even with it, you know, if something's posted seconds later, it's available on Google Search.
That's interesting.
And you can sort by.
Why wouldn't they put that into Google Plus? That's crazy.
I don't know. It's so frustrating. Okay, yeah. The second thing is, and that's kind of an old fad. That's just an idea. We already know how to do site:searches with that operator. All right. The second thing is, people are complaining that circles have been de-emphasized. You launched it here a second ago, and of course, you saw a world of communities. So it's all focused on communities and collections. Communities are Reddit-like areas where it's all focused around the topic and anyone can post. Collections are based on the person, so each person has their own collections, and so you can opt out of certain topics that people talk about. For example, if you like to follow me about tech, but you don't want to hear my endless pictures of food, you can opt out of my food and drink pics and you just get the tech or whatever. That's what collections are. It used to be human focused and the content was secondary. Now it's content is primary and the humans are secondary. People miss circles. So it used to be circle based. If you miss the circles and you want to bring back the circles, it's very, very easy to do. And here's how you do it. You go into settings from the left bar, click on settings. Then you go into advanced settings down at the bottom, near the bottom of the page. And under advanced settings, you'll see a thing that says enable circle stream in navigation. Just throw that switch and then look what happens over on the left. You now have circle streams. Oh. You click on that and there are all your circles. Click on those and you are now looking at the stream of those circles just like before. So I don't know why they buried this. I understand why they're not emphasizing, but don't bury it.
Is there a way just to get rid of circles?
Well, if you don't want to follow people, you can. I mean, you can just, you know, you can
move everybody into
you can throw them all in the trash and just have no be following no one.
No, but I want people. I just don't want and you can see I've overdone it. I've got categories up my categories.
Yeah.
I just like. I wish there were some tools.
You can delete any
circle management tools.
Well, you can go into people there on the left.
Yeah.
And you can manage your. You know,
those are all the people.
Yeah,
and you can circle.
Right, and you can delete circles, you can move people around and all that kind of stuff. You can still do the things that you used to be able to do, but they've de-emphasized it.
Right.
They want you to think about in terms of your passion. So if you're into Legos, they want you to be focused on the Lego community and your Lego collections and other people's Lego collections, and that's the organizing principle, and they don't want to confuse you with too many options. So they've hidden circles, kind of.
Right.
And so, anyway, that's a way to bring it back, and I recommend everybody do that. It's nice to be able to have friends and family and, you know, in our case, Twit staff and et cetera.
Right.
Okay, now the third tip is going to be less useful for everyone. In comments now, you can't do good moderation. They used to auto-flag people using their algorithm saying, oh, this person's a spammer or a troll or whatever. So they would hide it in a certain area where the person who did the post could go and unflag it and restore it back into the community of of comments. You can't do that anymore. Once Google says something is a spammer or a troll, that's it.
Oh.
It's terrible because I, you know, the false positives are off the charts.
Right.
I get so many comments that are great comment. Yeah. You know, they should be trying to drive engagement, not stifle it. And people don't even know that their comment has been flagged.
Right.
Nobody can see it except the person who posted it who thinks everybody can see it. It's terrible. So there is no solution to this. There's nothing you can do about it other than complain to Google. And so I'd like to get together a mob of people with torches and pitchforks to go rush Mountain View and say, give us full moderation again. We want to be able to restore or have perfect algorithms, which you do not. Once you have perfect algorithms, fine.
Then we don't either.
But until then, let us restore people who have made perfectly good comments. So those are my tips.
Three Google tips and one request. I like Google Plus. I want it to succeed, but I don't care if it's a small, tight group of involved people. That's what I want. That's
what? A public post on Google Plus is a page on the internet. It's like a Medium post.
Doesn't
you want
matter.
To look at it that
it exists.
Way.
Yeah.
And I personally like the idea of having comments all in order of when they were posted at the bottom rather than the Medium process of being able to cherry pick every little, you know, having the comments in the.
That's a thought, though. I feel like it would be nice if it looked as good as Medium. Maybe they need a display, an AMP version of their display. Well, if you're going to do AMP, Google, do AMP.
Do AMP.
Do it on Google Plus. Where else? Jeff, you have a number, but before you do that, I know you also want to mention this job posting.
Thank you. Yes, it's a big deal for both of us. We're, as most of you know by now, we're going to start the TWIT New York outpost at CUNY at my school. And we're going to produce a weekly TWIT show on the New York's tech sector and the exciting life here.
I love this idea. I'm so excited.
I have money from a grant and I need a producer. I need our Jason. And so this person will work full-time from January through May to get the show going and get the set and do some prototypes and stuff. And then after that, become part-time, ongoing producer and board op and everything, like just like Jason. This person will go to TWIT HQ to learn the ways of TWIT. I have one good application so far, but I need more applications. And so I did a short URL, bit.do/TWITNY. That's bit.do/TWITNY. Apply yourself, tweet it, Facebook it, pass it on to friends. If you're interested in podcasts and wanted to be in the leading podcast company on earth, and if you are interested in the tech scene, then it's a great gig. And so I wanted to plug that first. And
nice.
We can't wait to be working
with
Leo.
We're so excited. Yeah.
And company.
And I know there are a lot of you listening who live in the area, in the New York area, would be very interested in this.
And so. Gina, you'll be coming into the studio.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm going to be right there. I'm so excited about this. I have a very long list of people that I want you to be on the show.
That's exactly what I want, and starting with you. And then
this is going to be an awesome show.
We could probably do the show from this show, too, from the studio. Somewhere.
Yeah, I think this is your new studio. Well, you can do it either way, but this is you have the option. If you're at work,
I did require that we outfit everything in Hangouts only, no Skype. But other than that, you'll like
as long as the lights stay on during the show. I think this is good. If that you can convince them not to have that auto off switch, right?
Yeah.
Jeff, do you have a host in mind, or are you still the host?
I'm going to start off. I'm going to start off, and we'll have rotating hosts. That's why you're going to be coming to the studio, Gina, because you're going to be. I'm going to get you too.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. And then, I'm right there.
Obviously, I hope to find some brilliant new star, and you know, who's so good that the public says, "Get Jarvis off!" Get that person. I know they say that now on this show anyway, but
no one
you.
Says that.
When you say rotating host, you don't mean like Leo with the Google Cardboard. That's not what you mean.
If you have a rotating host, make sure you move all obstacles out of the way before they start rotating.
All right, so a number.
A number. The number is 1981.
1981.
Karnak, 1981. That is the address on Landings Drive in Mountain View, California, where there is now a public Google swag store.
Wow. That's awesome.
So you can now go to the Google swag store. It used to be you had to have a Google employee take you in. And they had to stand there and be there with you while you go around, you know, debating whether you wanted to this T-shirt or that T-shirt. And now you can go there. And it's typically Google understated in a weird way because it's just an office block. And there you walk in and boom, there's a store. And I said, people come in here? Yeah, they can come in here. And outside are all the Android mascots. So you can pose with pictures with, you know, a marshmallow.
Are they?
The big official statues?
The big ones are right outside.
Oh, it'd be better if it were like Times Square where it had people in kind of dirty marshmallow outfits.
Yeah. Freelancers.
Freelancers. That'd be so much better.
As the one on the Boulevard.
I'm Kit Kat. Nobody ever wants to take a picture with me anymore.
But here, have a Kit Kat.
Have a Kit Kat.
The naked Kit Kat.
I'm Eclair. How do you think I feel?
That's the topless eclairs.
Poor
That's
eclair.
It. That's this eclairs nudis.
So they also had a corner in the store where it said, you know, get the old Google, buy a piece of history, get the old Google logo.
Oh, nice.
And I also had to go, I had some meetings at Facebook.
And they had clearance on the old Google logo.
They did. And but I also got the new Facebook logo, too.
Ah.
So I now I'm up to date with my swag, with my Google. Now, the Facebook store is not open. This is the old Google logo. I buy my swag, by the way. I bought this. The old Google logo there.
I never did get that Android beanie I ordered from far, far away. Every time I see your icon with it, I go, hmm.
Was that a, did you buy that from the store or did you buy that
No, it was, where was it? It was like someone.
Kickstarter, probably.
Somewhere far, far away.
So anyway.
Now on tap.
Oh, anyway, 1981 Landings Drive in Mountain View, California. Just to get the year. 1981.
They moved the statues. Look at that, huh?
Yes. Did they move them there?
They had to, right? Because the statues used to be in front of the Android building.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at
maybe they made duplicates.
Now. They must have made duplicates. Yeah, yeah. This is great.
As I walk up, people are there taking selfies with the Androids.
With the giant Androids. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, my pick of the week would have been this Chromebook, Pixel C Android tablet. But I guess I don't know if it's a pick, but so far I'm happy. It's obviously the Android tablet to have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got the money, go for it. I like this. I didn't realize I could do that, that I could have it at any angle. I think
as Mike says, on a horrid, knee-capped, awful economy seat.
Yeah, just the right size.
Yeah.
All right. What fun this has been. Thank you, Mike Elgin, for coming in and being part of our show. I hope you will make a regular habit of that.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. You're just a natural here. You belong here.
This is a great show.
Yeah,
this is a great show.
Gina, notice what we did here. See, we went the show so long. It's like doing three shows. You might as well come and do the other show.
I should just come in every week.
It was a long show. Yeah, you know, I was having so much fun, I didn't even notice. Good Lord, we almost hit 2.5 hours. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I say this to people. Yo, we talk about Google for 2.5 hours. What?
No.
Oh, it's so hard to explain to anyone. Like people, like all but Android, same thing. Be like, what do you talk about? Well, it's this mobile phone operating system. And they'd be like, what?
No, it's us getting together, having a good time is what it is. That's
people
what
say, all video is going to be short. It's going to be 6 seconds. I say, no, actually, it could also be 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Thank you, Jeff Jarvis, buzzmachine.com. He's a professor of journalism at the City University of New York. Don't forget bit.do/twitny. NY. bit.do/twitny. Put that in there for the listing for that job at CUNY. And yeah, I think a nice perk is you get to come out here and spend some time.
You get to
go
to the Brick House.
Get trained by brilliant producers. Gina Trapani has two fabulous efforts. Of course, there's ThinkUp at ThinkUp.com, a great place to go to sign up and get your analytics for your social feeds, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
We're doing best of 2015 right now, just like everyone else on the internet.
Oh,
so,
Let me log in.
Thank you, Gina. I got my notice from you.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're doing best of 2015. We count all the stuff that Twitter analytics and Facebook insights doesn't count, like how many times you use exclamation points, how many times you mentioned yourself, who your bestie is. So it's a lot of fun. Check it out.
Can we get that for Donald Trump?
We should. I would love to do a Flash Kincaid actually analysis of people's tweets. Although I feel like it's not so too fair because tweets are
all your tweets are too good.
My Facebook bestie Stacey Allegro, Pilates instructor. My Twitter bestie Simon Zarafa. Not a surprise. Hi Simon. My Instagram bestie. Don't know who he is. Nigel UK 1962, but apparently he liked a lot of pictures.
He's a fan.
And then, of course, all of the great analytics. This is just, I love this. And it looks good. It really looks great.
Thank you.
Now, you also have MakerBase. That's makerbay.se.
It's actually makerbase.co. The domain name God smiled upon us. And someone took pity on us in our .se. And we moved to .co, which is much easier to say here on Twig. It was specifically for Twig that I wanted to move away from .se because I hated saying it.
Makerbase.co. That's
makerbase.co,
nice.
That's great. Find all your favorite projects.
And this is free. Anybody can do it. In fact, everybody should do it because the idea is you go in there and you talk about who makes the stuff you like. It could be you. It could be somebody else.
Get and give credit for what you make.
Get and give credit. Excellent. Makerbase.co. That's great.
Yeah. Thanks, Leo.
Can I go to thinkup.com/Donald Trump? Donald J. Trump? What is his...
He's real Donald Trump.
Real Donald Trump.
He is not a user.
So unless you're a user, you don't run the analytics.
Oh. No, because we ask for access to
have permission.
Your friends. Yeah.
Donald,
yeah.
We want to know. We want to know who your bestie for 2015 is. You can go back in time, right? If he signed up today, we'd know from the past.
Yeah, you could go back depending on the API limits.
So, but anybody could go to anybody who's a, like, you can go to thinkup.com/Leo Laporte, even if you don't know me, right?
It's leolaporte.thinkup.com. So if you set it to public, I think yours is public.
Oh, yeah, I'm public, yeah.
People can see it. Yeah, you can set it to private if it's a private account or you just don't want other people to see your insights. It's up to you.
So you can't, wait, Gina. Can you just analyze Donald Trump's feed?
Yeah, don't ask his permission.
Yeah, we could.
We built it so that people opt in because.
Oh, Gina. You
know, with
you're no fun.
Such a goody two shoes.
We can do more. At some point, we kind of had one of our open source contributors kind of forked ThinkUp and made it so that you could just enter anybody's. But you're using different API calls. They're a lot more limited, and the insights just weren't as good. And it wasn't where we wanted to go with the turnkey solution. So.
May I suggest a product though?
4 years ago,
is that as part of just pick celebrities and do it to them?
No, that's right. No, it's a good point. It's really a good point. There are other services that do that, and actually, it would be really interesting for Trump and all the other candidates.
Oh, would it ever? Yeah, that's right. Just do a candidate one. Duh. Yeah.
There
you go. Smoking the beard. Yeah.
No, that would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
I think some journalists should just come to you and solicit your assistance in this.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint.
Thanks for the idea.
Great to have you here, Gina. Thanks for
being
here.
Great to be here. Thank you. I love doing the show with you guys.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do This Week in Google. It's my last show of the week, and it's a great way to end the week for me. Middle of the week for most people. All you have to do is tune in Wednesdays about 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 21:30 UTC. You can watch live. You can be in our chat room at irc.twit.tv. But if you're not watching live, you can always... you can also email tickets at twit.tv. We have a very nice lone visitor today. But if you
Hi, visitor.
He's waving back. But if you can't watch live or be here live, you can always get it on demand after the fact at twit.tv/twig, youtube.com/thisweekingGoogle. And then on and on, iTunes, everywhere you get your show, Stitcher, Slacker, Apple TV, Roku, everywhere. Just look for Twit. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google. Bye.